hours, going back to the days of Henry VIII. Speaking of the Prime Minister...
Can we do it? Probably not. Ask not what your country can do for you, for fear of disappointment.
That's Rory Bremner. He's joining us later in the show to talk about additional support and indeed cost and funding for people and children with SEND. In other news, off the menu, a rejig of exactly what we can put forward in school dinners. And stand aside, Stephen Sondheim and others.
You've just made
sweet success for the Soar Away musical Paddington in last night's Olivier Awards. Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, American military officials have confirmed the US Navy blockade of the Strait of Hormuz will start this afternoon. President Trump announced the move after talks with Iran failed to reach a peace deal on Saturday. The US says the blockade will only apply to ships heading to and from Iranian ports. Speaking before boarding Air Force One last night, Mr. Trump told reporters that Tehran has breached the terms of the ceasefire.
I don't care if they come back or not. If they don't come back, I'm fine. Their military is gone. Their missiles are largely depleted. The manufacturing capability for missiles and drones is largely defeated. And remember, their promise was that they were going to open the Hormuz Strait. They didn't do it. They lied.
It's understood the UK will not be involved in enforcing the US blockade of Iran. The price of Brent crude oil has again risen above $100 a barrel. Ireland's government has announced fresh tax cuts on petrol and diesel in response to rising prices. The findings of the first phase of the public inquiry into the Southport attack will be published later. Three girls were killed and 10 others seriously injured in 2024. Axel Rudakabana is serving a minimum of 52 years in prison for the knife attack. Voters in Hungary have ended the 16-year rule of the nationalist leader Viktor Orban in a landslide election. Petya Magyar and his pro-EU Tizer party are set to have a supermajority of seats in parliament. He's promised to unfreeze billions in EU funding and stop blocking military aid from the bloc to Ukraine. Deep-fried foods is set to be banned from the school canteen in England. All schools will have to publish their menus online as part of new plans being put to a 9-week consultation. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has more details.
It would mean an end to deep-fried food at school, while things like pizzas and sausage rolls wouldn't be allowed to be served every day. Ministers say desserts like ice cream and waffles could only be offered once a week in what would be a sweeping attempt to reduce childhood obesity.
And Northern Ireland's Rory McIlroy has won a second successive Masters title. McIlroy is only the fourth golfer to do so, and victory saw him clinch his sixth major. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,600. It closed down 3 on Friday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers developing in the north by the afternoon, a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
This is your Rocky Bar speaking, and this buttery biscuit crunch is here to pep you up, taking you from carpe diem to carpe deum. Because after one crunch of a Rocky Bar, you are a legend, stronger than a teenager's aftershave and smoother than a first-time parallel park. So go grab yourself a Rocky. Go grab today by the curveballs. Go tick that to-do list until it's begging for more. Rocky, go crunch it.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after 7, Monday, April the 13th. Words to possibly terrify you this morning as you wake up. President Trump's been added again, and as is his wont, often writing in capitals, he's ready and he's, quotes, locked and loaded, and any enemy will be blown to hell. Yes, another blockade. There's nothing straightforward in the Strait of Hormuz. We'll give you the update on that. And also hear from one of our leading political parties who say enough is enough is enough. We have to have some kind of help now for people like you and me. If we don't have people directly in our military, then where we're feeling, of course, is the pumps. The Lib Dems have ideas. We'll hear more on that. saying about talking about level of military preparedness. Do you remember this last week, speaking with Defence Minister Luke Pollard?
It's precisely because our actions against Russia's shadow fleet is working that we're now seeing Putin having to escort his shadow fleet with Russian frigates.
Well, that assertion is blown out of the water, as thank goodness for the French connection. The only way we can tackle it would appear the so-called shadow fleet or Russian fleet is to rely on our friends across the water in France. We'll give you more details on that. More details as well, an explosive piece in one of the newspapers yesterday from this party leader.
Giving away the Chagos Islands was wrong for the British national interest. A strategic military base, which we owned that territory, should not be surrendering that right.
Kemi Badenoch, the Conservative leader, they're talking about the Chagos Islands, but it was her views of that link-up or steaming gang in Clapham and other parts of London and their origin as regards being Caribbean and African origin that was explosive or punchy views. She'll join us later in the show. As will Rory Bremner, campaigning for more funding and awareness of spending, special educational needs and disabilities. And talking of campaigners,
put a load of chicken skin in here as well.
We can get a cutter and cut out our very own patty.
Just like that. Now, who would still eat this? Great.
And that's, of course, campaigner Jamie Oliver, a group of children saying they would still eat chicken nuggets despite his attempts to dissuade them. There's food for thought for the school menu. Radical change, we're hearing from a government minister on that. And also an appetite for change in Hungary. But it doesn't just affect Russia, the UK and Europe. It also affects Washington as well. We'll tell you more later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It almost feels like you should offer an award if anyone can deduce exactly what is going on in the Strait of Hormuz. It's difficult to know exactly what's going on in the behind of President Trump, but it gets even more complex now. As you're waking up this morning, you will have already heard, unfortunately, those peace talks have come to nothing. And now we're staring at another deadline, another blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, as I said, the talks broke down yesterday. 21 hours of negotiations by scores, teams of diplomats. US Vice President J.D. Vance told journalists before heading back to the U.S.
We've had a number of substantive discussions with the Iranians. That's the good news. The bad news is that we have not reached an agreement. And I think that's bad news for Iran much more than it's bad news for the United States of America. So we go back to the United States having not come to an agreement. We've made very clear what our red lines are, what things we're willing to accommodate them on, and what things we're not willing to accommodate them on. And we've made that as clear as we possibly could, and they have chosen not to accept our terms.
Now, in a phone interview with Fox News yesterday, of course, President Trump outlined his response to the failed talks. He confirmed the U.S. will begin a naval blockade on all ships entering and leaving the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, we're going to be blockading. It'll take a little while, but it'll be effective pretty soon. And we had meetings yesterday. They, as you said, lasted 21 hours. That was a long meeting. We had some very, very good representatives, as you know, J.D. and Steve and Jared. So we were well represented, but we didn't get there on the important issue. They want to have nuclear weapons. They're not going to have nuclear weapons. I've been saying that for 30 years. I would never allow that to happen before I was in politics. And that country will not have nuclear weapons. Most countries shouldn't be allowed to have, but that country will not have nuclear weapons. We have minesweepers there now. We have highly sophisticated underwater minesweepers, which are the latest and the greatest. But we're also bringing in more traditional minesweepers. And so I understand is the UK and a couple of other countries are sending minesweepers.
Well, Trump referencing the UK there, but in the same interview, he criticised Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Meanwhile, Health Secretary Wes Streeting defended the Prime Minister and told my LBC colleague Lewis Goodall.
The Prime Minister has shown cool, calm, level-headed leadership, not just in relationship with the United States, but in foreign policy more generally. Of course, he sought to influence President Trump as best he can, and he's made a decision that I think few British prime ministers alive today would have made, which is to keep us out of this war in Iran. That took guts and grit. There are not many people who would have made that decision.
Well, every other
they've been criticising
for it. Every other leader in Europe
did. I'm talking about British prime ministers. It is an unusual and historically exceptional break with a decision that the United States has taken. And you have to go back over decades to see similar examples where the UK or the US haven't been on the same page as each other. And that's significant.
Wes Streeting speaking there. Now, on the political front, we'll hear from Lib Dems, senior Lib Dem member Daisy Cooper, indeed deputy leader. They have an idea as how we could bring relief here at the pump. But first off, let's look at the more global picture, which involves Iran negotiations, those failed negotiations, and turn to Ben Judah, whose former special advisor to David Lammy during his time as foreign secretary, has been involved in talks in Washington with the US and in Geneva with the Iranians during the 12-day war last year. Thanks for coming on. Mr. Judah, what needs to happen now? Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me on. I think the most important thing we need to underline here is that there's a lot of fog of war that's now become fog of diplomacy. It's very unclear to us, but also to European and Middle Eastern leaders, where exactly this is going to end. Really, Trump remains the key decision maker here. But I'm a little bit pessimistic about how quickly or how well these talks will play out, because I've seen up close just how intransigent the Iranians can be.
What, for someone to give ground, where do you see, where can an off-ramp be constructed, Ben?
The British diplomatic view has been for a long time that a deal is theoretically possible. I think that's true. I think that there is enough space in both sides' positions that you could land something. It's just the Iranian leadership have a distinctive style, and this dates back decades, and it's really embedded in the culture of the Islamic Republic, of steadfastness and of refusing to blink under pressure and from taking pride out of these encounters. And they have been, through that approach, pretty successful in a lot of their resistance to the United States through many, many decades. It's just this time they're up against Trump. So what Trump's trying to now do is defang through his own sort of coercive policies their attempt to impose a blockade on the Straits of Hormuz. And he's trying to do that by calling their bluff, by saying that he'll put his own blockade in place that will stop any boat going past that's paid a toll to the Iranians and will dare the Iranians to start shooting again at his ship. So really we're going to see a next moment of brinkmanship and eyeball to eyeball around that.
Lastly, do we look to Pakistan again to try and broker some kind of talks? Do we need a new third party, as it were?
What we're seeing here is a wider kind of eclipse of Europe. For many decades, the E3 countries, Europe, as the UK, Germany, and France, were very important in nuclear negotiations with the Iranians, working with the United States. They're nowhere to be seen in this moment. That's a historic moment, seeing Europe completely on the sidelines of a matter of such cardinal importance to its economy. And what we're seeing in Pakistan is not just how the Pakistani government has very successfully played the Trump administration now for over a year. We're seeing Pakistan's two key allies behind that. So present in the background at the talks were the Saudis, that have got a very close relationship with the Pakistanis going back decades, and also the Chinese. And the wider thing that we need to be concerned about is that that authoritarian axis of countries is getting closer, just as the Western alliance is splitting. We're seeing the Russians providing targeting to the Iranians, the Chinese providing diplomatic and potentially military support, all rather concerning.
Grateful for your time, Ben. Ben Judah, you were special advisor to David Lammy during those negotiations, 13 minutes after 7. Now let's bring it right back home, which is what one political party, the Lib Dems, planned to do today. There's research done today that shows that in some instances families could be up to £2,000, take a £2,000 hit because of the pressures in the Middle East. And of course, if you, if your business, if you're in deliveries, if you're in haulage, if you're a man or a woman with a white van, man or woman, you're going to take an even bigger hit. So what could be done? Let's bring to the conversation Treasury spokesperson and deputy leader of the Lib Dems, Daisy Cooper. Good to have you on, Daisy Cooper. You and your colleagues in the Lib Dems are planning something in Parliament today. What is it? Morning.
Good morning. We're going to table a motion in Parliament today to try and force the government's hand to act now. The government says that they might consider some help in the autumn, but families and businesses everywhere know that they're getting hit in the pocket right now. So what we're saying is we're appealing to the Chancellor to use the money that she is getting from the additional taxes that are coming from the increased prices in fuel, and to use that money, that windfall, to actually reduce prices at the pump, but also for train fares and for bus fares as well.
OK, do we know how much she's getting a day, a week, and how would that work in practical terms, Daisy?
Well, analysis suggests that the independent analysis suggests that the Chancellor is getting about £20 million a day, or £8 billion over the course of a year, if things continue as they are. And the problem is that people are feeling it in their pocket right now. They're feeling it at the pump. And so we do think the government ought to be using this money right now to try and bring prices down.
And exactly how to bring prices down? In what way?
To slash fuel duty by 10p a litre, by issuing a 10% cut in rail fares, by capping bus fares at £1 rather than £3, and cutting VAT for EV charging at the home, on-street EV charging as well.
Why rail fares?
Because what we want to do is change people's behaviour. So for some people, they have no option but to use fuel, to use their cars or their trucks, and they shouldn't have to pay through the nose for that. But there are many people who do face a choice. And if there is a choice between using fuel in your car or using the train, we'd like to encourage people to use public transport where they're able to do so.
Lastly, Daisy, I think I know, you certainly do, explain the parliamentary process. You table a motion. What does that actually mean in practical terms? Daisy?
But in practical terms, what this means is that on the parliamentary record, we have set out the things that we are demanding of the government. Off the back of that, we can then pull other levers in Parliament to try and get debates and to try and force the government's hand. The reality is, as you all know, Nick, I'm sure your listeners do too, there are lots of different things that can happen in Parliament, and we'll be looking to use every single lever possible. So this is just the first step this week.
We'll see how it plays out. Daisy Cooper, thank you for your time. A 10p cut in fuel duty, I know that will appeal to many. We'll go around with our fuel trackers, by the way. Appropriately enough, later in this hour, Daisy Cooper, Treasury Spokesperson and Deputy Leader of the Lib Dems, thank you for your time. Also, coming up later in this hour, do you remember when I asked the Defence Secretary of the State and how much ships we actually had in the Royal Navy, and it was a pretty threadbare answer? It's got worse. We're now relying on the French to supposedly patrol the Shadow Fleet. Tom Sharp, former Navy warship captain, former 27 years as Royal Naval officer, told LBC...
We have been spending less as a percentage of GDP on defence every year since the Suez crisis. The degradation of our armed forces to where we are today has been a long time coming by both parties.
But the question for you concerning Donald Trump is, as those talks collapsed, the president decided to go and watch a cage fight. As the talks collapsed and people's lives are put at risk and people's livelihoods and his popularity slumps in the US, he's watching cage fighting, the MAGA base. He's out of control now, isn't he? 7:17, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
There's fresh uncertainty over the Middle East ceasefire after President Trump said that he doesn't care if Iran returns to peace talks. The findings of the first part of the public inquiry into the murder of three girls in Southport will be issued later today. And foods that are high in sugar or deep fried are set to be banned from the school menu as part of plans to tackle childhood obesity in England. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, some showers in the north. Later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still very slow on the M25, clockwise heading up towards Junction 6 at Godston after a car broke down earlier. In Stratford, Great Eastern Road is closed northbound from the High Street to Stratford bus station because of an ongoing investigation. In Whitechapel, Dock Street is closed both ways because of an accident, and the A40 remains closed both ways between the Northern Roundabout and the Marylebone Flyover. It's because of those ongoing bridge works, and it's very busy on the approach, but also on the diversion, especially on the M4 eastbound, which is slow onto the elevated section. On the train, southwestern and southern services are now running between Epsom and Leatherhead, but with delays of around 20 minutes.
This is LBC.
3, 2, 1, 0% APR on an all-electric Mini Cooper. What was that, Luton? Handling is extraordinary. Centre of gravity so low. And it could be ours with a 15% deposit and 3-year term. OK, Luton, reroute me to the nearest Mini retailer now.
Land a new all-electric Mini Cooper with 0% APR. Report to your Mini retailer today. Mini UK is a credit broker. Ordered and delivered by 30th of June. PCP finance with Mini Financial Services. Subject to status. 18 plus T's and C's apply. Mini.co.uk/Cooper.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Dreaming of a new kitchen? Getting started couldn't be easier.
At Wix, you can begin planning your new kitchen with our design consultants. Simply arrange a free home measure or an in-store design consultation. Book your free kitchen design appointment and turn all your ideas into reality at Wix.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. Globalacademy.com.
I'm Will Buxton.
I'm Naomi Schiff.
I'm David Coulthard.
And I'm Jolie Shaw.
This is Up to Speed. Available every Monday and Thursday on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Your reactions on President Trump in just a moment. There's no shortage of them, unsurprisingly. Let me tell you three front page stories. Obviously, events in the Middle East are some of the front pages. Trump US blockade to end Strait extortion is one of them. Also, The Guardian has this: Trump in threat to block Strait after talks collapse is the front page of The Guardian. The other one was the front page of The Times. Then there is concerns over what some newspapers are portraying as some kind of Brexit betrayal. I know you just want to take a deep breath. We'll give you details on this and try and work out whether there really is a whiff of betrayal. Labour plots to deny MPs vote on new EU sellout is the front page of the Daily Mail. So those are a range of front page stories. The front page pictures, I'm delighted to say, many of them are of Paddington. Absolute triumph at the Paddington. Paddington cleans up at the Olivier's. I'm thoroughly delighted for that because it is a tremendous show and we'll be celebrating the sweet sense and taste of success for that marmalade show, Paddington, later in the show, in the third hour of our show. ALBC app also giving you the latest of what's going on at the Strait of Hormuz. Let's take one other story online. Oh, and this is well done. Yes, OK, overnight, Rory McIlroy wins his second Masters, becomes only the fourth player in history to win what they call back-to-back titles, sixth major. He just managed to beat in the United States Scotty Scheffler, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm not a golf. I love virtually every sport. I just can't get golf. I'm really sorry. I love football. I adore rugby, cricket, tennis. Anyway, I know many of you will have stayed up, but what you can't, I mean, this is only the fourth man ever in the history of the sport to do it. So congratulations to Rory McIlroy. Well done on that. Let's tell you a little bit of what you're saying. Well, let's reflect the two views of Donald Trump. This from, oh gosh, let's check Kriskoff, if I'm saying that correctly. Let's check Kriskoff. There's been probably no single day when international news did not mention Trump's name since he became US president. This is crazy. You fear for his mental health. Adi says America and Israel attack Iran, but Iran is the problem or the difficult one. This is hypocritical Western imperial mindset at play again. And of course, also we talked about the fact that the Lib Dems are going to use that parliamentary process of tabling a motion to try and persuade the Chancellor to look at a 10p cut in fuel duty, a 10% cut in rail fares, bus fares being capped at £1 instead of £3. Bruce, I don't think, is that impressed. Politicians treat us like idiots. If they reduce energy bills due to the Middle East crisis, we'll still pay indirectly. Either poorer public services, higher taxes or increased borrowing, and still no energy security. Rather than import from Norway or US, and how long will that last, drill in the North Sea. Pay market price, but you have security. Bruce, you've got a touch of the Trumps there. You're starting to put some words in capitals. I always get nervous when I see that because, you know, it's like someone shouting at you. That's the equivalent of shouting, security. Bruce, do keep them coming. Well, in a related story, because if the Lib Dems, I think, quite rightly want to try and get the price of fuel down, should we go round and have another go with our fuel trackers?
Nick Ferrari's Fuel Tracker on LBC.
Yes, I have checked. Because gasoline just didn't feel appropriate. So let's tell you a little bit of Gary Newman in action.
I know.
know it's cars and you also have motorbikes and you have vans and you have coaches. I get it, but it just feels slightly more appropriate. Let's go to the first about fuel trackers. Daniel in Golders Green. Last time we spoke to Danny, the back end of last week. And forget the point nines. We're just going... When we started this, I should say, last month, it was 134 and 142 for unleaded and diesel. The end of last week, it was 160 and 192. Daniel in Golders Green. What have we got? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Well, I can report that this Monday morning, drivers are paying £1.59 a litre for unleaded,
right,
which is 1p lower, and they're paying £1.92 for diesel, no change.
Thanks for that. That's the first, and I've got a whole raft of bits of paper in front of me. I look like the mad professor with arrows and God knows what. That is the first cut we've experienced since the 10th of March. Daniel, safe driving. Thank you. Off to Scotland, Murdo in Auchtarbuchty. Just to remind you, when we first spoke with Murdo, over a month ago, unleaded in diesel, 132 and 145. Back end of last week, that had become 160 and 194. Murdo, morning, where do we find ourselves?
Good morning, Nick. This morning we find ourselves unleaded is 162.9 and diesel is 197.9.
Bless you, mate. Safe driving to you. Have a good one. So that's unleaded up another 2p, 30p in total. Diesel up another 3p, that's 40. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's 50. It's 52p in total since we began. We'll be going around the rest of the country later in the show. Now, an interview that made some headlines a week or so ago was when I spoke with the Defence Secretary, John Healey. He was talking about deployment of the Royal Navy, and I asked him a very simple question as to how many ships we actually had. Unfortunately, as you will probably remember now, he didn't know, and indeed, to make it worse, he got it wrong. It didn't get a lot better last week when I was speaking with his deputy, his junior defence minister, Luke Pollard. Now, this was about Vladimir Putin sending a warship and what's called these ghost fleet ships through the English Channel. And, of course, the fact that not one day, but 2 days in a row, they just sailed, it would seem, merrily through the English Channel while we looked on. Here's a little of what the minister told me last week.
We always keep a Royal Navy ship on constant watch, so HMS Somerset and HMS Mersey, for instance, have been involved in some of the tracking activity of Russian vessels. But it's precisely because our actions against Russia's shadow fleet is working that we're now seeing Putin having to escort his shadow fleet with Russian frigates, and in many cases now taking the long way around the United Kingdom.
Now, some of you might have seen front page news yesterday, a story by my LBC colleague Peter Allen from France, that the Royal Navy is now seeking help from the French to help intercept or interdict Russian vessels in British waters because we're struggling to meet what are called operational commitments. Enough from me, let's get to an expert. Commodore Steve Prest is a former Royal Naval Commodore, now Associate Fellow in Military Science at the Royal United Services Institute, or RUSI as it is known, and joins me now. Good to have you on board, as it were, Commodore. What's happened to the one-time senior service? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. It's a pretty poor state, actually, when you look at the numbers of ships and submarines that the Navy can bring to bear at the moment. But this is a story that's been 25, 30 years in the making. So a failure to invest sufficiently and quickly enough in replacement ships for our aging frigate force in particular. We've got two classes of ships in build, the Type 26 and the Type 31. They're both going to be great classes of ships, but they're still a year or two away from the first ones actually entering service. So we should have ordered them sooner and we should have built them quicker, and we didn't, largely for budgetary reasons, frankly. The old ships are wearing out. They're becoming increasingly costly to maintain. And frankly, are exiting service as they simply wear out.
Commodore, you don't build a battleship, obviously, overnight. Do we track back solely to 14 years of previous Conservative administration? Do we go further back than that? How would you call it, Commodore?
Well, I think it goes even further back than that. As you say, you don't build warships overnight. These are complex vessels. And they get increasingly complex as time goes forward. So what you have to do with navies, peacetime navies are expensive, but they're cheaper than the alternative. But you have to build them before you need them, and that requires upfront investment. And there are things about the way our political cycle works and the way that the Treasury budgeting cycles work and the way that money is managed within the Ministry of Defence that drive what are rational decisions in the short term, but they have long-term impact. So we've got ships and we've got submarines that we can't get to sea at the moment because we haven't invested sufficiently in the maintenance facilities, for example. We've got more and more sailors joining the Navy. Actually, we've had a bit of a turnaround in recruitment, which is good news. But we're struggling to get all of those sailors through the training pipeline to get them to sea as trained sailors to operate. So we're very keen to talk about the tip of the spear. But of course, as everyone knows, if you think the tip of the spear is the only important component of that weapon, you don't understand how spears work. And so you've got to invest in all of the other things that make the tip of the spear work, the handle of the spear, if you like.
Lastly, you're a Royal Nobleman to your boots. I'm a journalist. Other journalists write headlines like "Le Humiliation," whatever it might be. You've been brave enough to serve as a Navy bloke. What goes through your heart when you read those stories and you see the position of the Royal Navy now, Steve?
Well, it makes me sad. And of course, I've been part of this. I served in the Navy for 25 years. I retired a couple of years ago. So I've been on that journey, doing my best, you know, either engaging in daring do on the high seas or in the more back office functions, trying to make the very best out of the resources the nation has given us. Just a fun fact, Nick, I did my basic officer training on exchange with the French Navy, so I'm a Francophile.
Right.
And I think there is an important point in that story that there's nothing shameful about working with allies. We have a NATO-first policy and defence strategy, and we should be working with allies. That's fine. But we ought to be doing much, much better in terms of generating our own capabilities too.
Enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your service. Commodore Steve Press, former Royal Navy Commodore, now Associate Fellow in Military Science at RUSI. James, if you can, we'll take your call the other side of the news because I'm already behind the clock, so I want to hear your views on fuel. And actually, you've got an interesting point where others might seek to go, so do wait. We'll come to you after that. We're also, after news, going to Hungary, and here's the incoming Prime Minister, Peter Magyar, if I'm saying that correctly, addressing supporters.
We have won the legitimacy to build a working and more humane Hungary.
After 16 years. We'll have more on that. 7:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Iran has warned any military ships attempting to approach the Strait of Hormuz will be dealt with harshly and decisively. The US Navy is set to begin its blockade of the key shipping lane this afternoon after peace talks with Iran collapsed over the weekend. The findings of the first part of the public inquiry into the murders of three girls in Southport will be issued this lunchtime. Axel Rydakabana is serving a minimum jail term of 52 years for the knife attack at a dance class in 2024. And foods that are high in sugar or deep fried could be banned from school menus across England. All schools will have to publish their menus online as part of plans being put to a 9-week government consultation. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers will develop in the north by the afternoon. A high of 14 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Mark Rutter, the NATO chief, speaking in Washington, D.C. after meeting with President Trump and delivering what I think might be referred to as a bit of a broadside against European nations in NATO, that there has been, to some extent, he argued, an unhealthy dependence on the United States for the defence of the European continent. These are the kind of things that Trump is saying. He's putting it rather differently, of course, but in that regard, I don't think Mark Rutter's wrong.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
All right, we've got Simon on the line. Simon, young people, they're just all a bit lazy, aren't they?
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I get 6 minutes, please?
Of course.
Some say young people are work shy. But at McDonald's, we hired 47,000 of them last year.
Thank you very much. So, how's it
going? Like George here, who keeps things running during a Friday rush. Resilience. Making it happen at McDonald's.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a 4-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket.
Geographical and other restrictions. Min spend £60 and charges apply. Discount available on food. New customers only. Max saving £20. Terms at Ocado.com.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big Motoring World. We're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34 into the world of business. Now, James, I know you're going to talk to me about what you're doing to try and make economies, but let's get a global, an overview first from Kathleen Brooks, who's financial analyst and research director at the trading platform XTB. And there are a couple of surveys out today suggesting it's the middle class that could bear the brunt of any inflationary costs from the issues in the Middle East. Just work your way through those reports, if you would. Kathleen, good morning.
Hi, Nick. Yes, so it does look like it is going to be falling disproportionately on the middle classes. With rising fuel and energy bills, they're expected to cost the typical middle-income family around £480 a year. There's actually expected to be an income decline this year for the average household of 0.6%. Now, this is a real setback, because earlier this year we were expecting to see incomes grow, but instead it's back to that stagnation, and in fact incomes going into reverse, so households just getting poorer. But as I mentioned, there is a disproportionate impact, and the Resolution Foundation has said that lower income households will be they'll be protected. Now, partly it's because they're going to be the ones that will get the fuel benefit allowance. That won't go to everybody. Rachel Reeves has been very clear about that. But secondly, they've seen a very large increase in their benefits. So there's been a big benefit uprating just last week, whereby families on benefits are going to see an increase in their overall incomes, especially with the lifting of the two-child benefit cap, with some families seeing an increase of about 7%. Now, that just it really brings into sharp relief how middle-class families that kind of underpin the whole tax take of this country, really, are in a very, very different position. And that £480, that doesn't include higher mortgage costs on the back of the war, because interest rates have gone up, are expected to go up, and also food prices, which one of those reports that you mentioned said could go up by 10%.
Let's also talk about the impact for the EU airline industry. What are they talking of now, Kathleen?
Yeah, that there could be a jet fuel shortage in the next 3 weeks if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. And obviously, President Trump has said he's going to blockade it. Doesn't look like anything's going to get through it soon. Because the Gulf provides about 50% of aviation fuel to Europe. Obviously, airlines are very worried. We know that some airlines have scaled back flights already, that they've also put surcharges for customers, and they're incredibly concerned because obviously we're coming up to the summer season as well. But it's airports that are going to be very vulnerable, especially those smaller airports with less than kind of 1 million passengers a year. The whole industry, the airports industry, actually makes a huge amount of money for the EU. It's about 700 billion pounds every single year, and it supports about 14 million jobs, so it's a really big deal. But it does suggest that if you're due to fly in the next month or so, this could have a real impact. So the airport industry body for the EU is calling for the whole EU to get together and to actually buy jet fuel together, but also to lower standards and lower regulation. So we may be getting slightly dirtier, maybe less clean fuel in to just keep those airlines flying.
Don't know about you, Kathleen, but I always make it a point to tip a taxi driver and others. And if I were applying for a senior job at one particular company, that might actually get me across the threshold. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah. I would be very, very generous. So Duolingo, so that is the app where you can learn a language. It's really super popular. You've probably heard of it. Yep. I'm sure lots of listeners have heard of it. But the billionaire boss of Duolingo is now developed a taxi test so that candidates who are being driven to their interviews, the drivers will report back to the bosses about how the candidates behaved before they've even gone to the interview. And the idea being that, you know, you don't really want to work with someone who has been maybe horrible to the taxi driver. In fact, the boss of Duolingo put it in a very much less delicate way than that. But this has actually worked. So a CFO candidate, so this is a big job, big salary.
Just to explain, that's chief financial officer. So he or she is in charge of the books. Yep, on you go.
Exactly. Yep. So they were being driven from the airport to the office for the interview.
Love it.
They obviously didn't tip enough, or maybe they weren't very nice, and they did not get the job, even though on paper they look perfect.
This is fantastic. Unsurprisingly, the London Taxi Driver Association reported to be celebrating this. Kathleen, thank you. Kathleen Brooks, financial analyst and research director of the trading platform XTB, taking us to 7:39 straight to James in Bromley. Firstly, my thanks for hanging on. I hope I've not inconvenienced you too much. What is it you want to tell us, James? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for taking my call. Just to say that I moved to an electric vehicle about 18 months ago because I got a good deal.
Yeah.
It was nearly 3 years old, and I get my cars on the monthly payment.
Yep.
And it was only £20 a month more than what I was paying for my old petrol car.
Right.
But my fuel costs dropped £70 a month overnight, really.
Yep.
I only spend maybe £20 a month now charging the car. I do about 6,000 miles a year.
Do you?
So I'm probably saving at least £100 a month now, I reckon.
Oh, easy. Big a switch was it for you to get out of your petrol, your unleaded, and into electric, James? What was the thing that finally sold? Because obviously, eventually I'm going to be dragged out of my car. I still don't feel it just yet. What was it that got you over the threshold, James?
I just think that when I got to price parity, more or less, because it was secondhand,
the price of
the
vehicle,
they're still expensive. Yeah, the price of the vehicle, and I am able to charge at home, and I suppose that's the big thing because I only pay 5p a kilowatt hour, so it costs maybe £2, £2.50 to fully charge it.
You are streets ahead now, aren't you? Because you will drive past those fuel forecourts and you'll see the unleaded and the diesel taking off like a rocket, and you're in a good place.
Yeah, it's worked out really well for me. Like I said, only doing 6,000 miles or so. So if someone's doing, obviously, 10,000.
Yeah, 12. I think the average is 10, isn't it? Or I think it might be 12. It's certainly more than 6. That's about 500 a month. Safe driving, James. Thank you for hanging on the phone. Funnily enough, we are preparing a report later in the week about the, well, I don't say boom, but the lift in sales of electric cars. And we're going to be speaking to the managing director of one of our major motor manufacturers on that very point later in the week, James. So yours is almost a curtain raiser for that report that comes later in the week. Ian, I'm going to be talking to you about fuel prices in a moment, but we are a global programme in every sense of the world. So there was an appetite for change in Hungary.
We have won the legitimacy to build a working and more humane Hungary for every single Hungarian citizen.
And that is the incoming PM, Peter Magyar, addressing supporters, some of whom were celebrating on the streets of the capital city, Budapest.
We did it! We won the elections.
Our dictator is called down.
It's spectacular for us that we belong to Europe. We proved it.
It means a bright future.
It means freedom. Really,
this country is not dead. Yeah. We have hope now.
Reporting from the scene, Matt Fry, who of course is one of my LBC colleagues, also anchor for Channel 4 News, joining us from Hungary. Okay, Matt, I'm obviously going to ask you about the significance for Europe and the significance for Russia, but first off, given the support offered by J.D. Vance and indeed President Trump, what does this mean for Washington, Matt? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, it means that if you have friends like Trump, you don't really need enemies, frankly, in elections. I mean, the atmosphere last night, Nick, I know you've been to many a good party, but I've never seen anything like this. This is as if Hungary had won 2 World Cups in one go. I mean, not just a few people celebrating, like the ones you heard, but hundreds of thousands of people on the street. And by the way, I'm in the middle of town in a hotel. I couldn't get to sleep until 5 in the morning when they finally cleared out and stopped. I mean, it was just extraordinary. It didn't feel like a change of government. It felt like regime change. And of course, to many of these people, especially the younger ones, they've never known anything other than Viktor Orban as prime minister. He's been here for 16 years. Before that, he did 4 years at the end of the last century. And more than that, more than just being a prime minister, you know, and being a nationalist and a Christian nationalist and a populist, he was also very smart at using a two-thirds majority in 2010 to basically do what they call capturing the state. So all the big institutions and the media, everything was under his control, almost like autocratic rule, but he called it in a liberal democracy. And the thing about democracies is if you have elections, and yesterday, to be fair to him, he conceded early and said, you know, fair dues, I lost this one. And he lost big because the new guy, Peter Magyar, who is the complete opposite in terms of his appearance, he's a sort of svelte marathon runner type, but also a nationalist himself, also anti-immigration. He's got a two-thirds majority, so he will now roll back many of the changes that Orban had introduced.
And the news will go down how in the Kremlin, Matt?
badly. This is really bad news for Vladimir Putin, because Orban was more than just friendly to Putin. He almost acted as if he was a Putin asset. I mean, he wasn't, I don't think he was an agent for the Kremlin, but he acted as if he was an asset to the Kremlin. So much so that, for instance, he blocked a 90 billion euro economic package from the EU for Ukraine, without which Ukraine cannot continue to fight this war. That will now presumably be unblocked. That in turn unblocks 20 billion euros that the EU had kept back because Hungary had become too corrupt. So I think, you know, he's not massively pro-European. He doesn't believe in a federal Europe. He doesn't really want to send too many weapons to Ukraine, but he's not going to allow Putin to ride roughshod over the EU.
Lastly, Matt, noting how many years you've reported in and around this region, did the scale of the victory surprise even you?
Nothing surprises me, Nick. Of course it did. You know, we journalists, I mean, maybe you're different here. You're a less cautious fellow than me, perhaps. But, you know, we're all educated, aren't we, to kind of always are on the side of caution. So I thought he would win. I honestly didn't think he would get a super majority, because you always think, well, you know, maybe they've got some trick up their sleeve, or there's the vote in the countryside, which we were reporting from as well, and they still like Fidesz a lot, the governing party. Yes. And you know, and after all these years of Orban, even the most fervent supporters of the opposition were telling me, I can't quite believe he's lost, because he's, you know, it's a bit like Stockholm Syndrome. You can't imagine not living with this guy in charge.
16 years at the top. Matt Fry, thank you. Matt's, of course, with us from 10 a.m. on Saturdays, LBC. And you'll find him, of course, as one of the anchors on Channel 4, joining us from Hungary. We'll go a minute late to news. Ian in Eastbourne, 7:45 now, but let's take your view on the way that the military forces have been denuded of cash, starved of cash, as it were. Ian, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. First time caller. Love your show.
Good to have you on, sir. Thank you.
I just think our government is just an absolute joke. I mean, Mr. Putin must be absolutely laughing at us. Our government show no loyalty, not even to each other in Parliament, let alone the Americans. Mm-hmm. What he should have done, is, especially with President Trump, is turn around and say, look, yeah, we're on your side, but let's get in the office and talk about it first. And then put his point across, and if you can deter him from starting a war, then all well and good. But it's just that they don't know how to talk to each other. They don't know how to manage the country. Our politicians are just a big flop and an embarrassment.
What's the leadership you would like to see in the United Kingdom, Ian?
Oh, that's the tricky one. I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet, mm-hmm. but the only guy who's saying, he's saying the right things, I think, is Mr. Farage.
And when you say it's a shame, why do you say it's a shame?
Because the politicians, they're all millionaires. They don't know what it's like to not be able to pay a bill. No. They've got no contact.
Touchstone of reality or grounding.
That's it. I mean, they haven't got a clue. But as I say, they don't know what it's like not to be able to pay your heating bill, not have enough money for fuel. Yes, they're just out of touch. So,
good speaking with Ian. Have yourself a good day. Thank you. Coming up after the news, food for thought, a change in the school menus. What's out? What's in? You'll find out after this. 7:47 LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The US military says it'll begin its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz this afternoon. Sakir Starmer is reportedly planning a law which will mean the UK government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. And foods that are high in sugar or deep fried could be banned from school menus across England as part of plans to tackle childhood obesity. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, some showers developing in the north later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb in Stratford. Great Eastern Road is closed northbound from the High Street to Stratford bus station. It's because of an ongoing investigation. In Whitechapel, Dock Street is closed both ways, and that's following an accident. The A40 remains closed both ways between the Northern Roundabout and the Marylebone Flyover because of the ongoing works. So definitely do expect delays again this morning, especially on the diversion route, which is the M4 and the A4. In Croydon, one lane's closed on the A23 Purley Way northbound at Commercial Way, and that's following an accident. On the trains, better news for services between Epsom and Leatherhead. Those delays have now cleared, but southeastern services are delayed at Charing Cross.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the LBC app.
Hello. You've caught me at the hairdresser's getting business advice with my friend Deborah Meaden.
Well, Einstein, staying on top of your numbers is crucial.
Indeed. And a smart meter can help you track your energy use and costs over time, so you can trim and adjust.
Meaning more control of your business budgeting.
Join the 9 out of 10 small business owners happy with their smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required. 93% of small businesses surveyed in 2024 were happy.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
I'm Will Buxton.
I'm Naomi Schiff.
I'm David Coulthard.
And I'm Jolie Shaw.
This is Up to Speed. Available every Monday and Thursday on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hard to concentrate when you're worried about your health. It can feel like there's a wall between you and the rest of the world. Like you can't be fully present.
Hello, AXA Health. How can I help?
At AXA Health Insurance, we build our teams with people who care. So when you need us, we're here to support you. For cover that cares, search AXA Health Insurance. Pre-existing conditions are not covered.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep on going under.
Get that Toyota electric feeling with the all-new, all-electric Toyota Urban Cruiser. Available with 0% APR representative and £1,500 deposit contribution. And save £1,500 with the Toyota Electrified Saving. Visit your nearest Toyota Centre.
Price from £299.95. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before eight. Now, assuming you've left it, can I take you back to your school? Can I ask you to think of a typical school lunch? What did you have? Now, I have to confess that, unfortunately, my school, it probably was steak and kidney pudding with chips, which is probably why I'm more the rugby size than perhaps the ballet size. And the pudding might have been jam roly-poly with custard. Not exactly what you should be sure of it serving up to our youngsters at lunchtime. Well, the government's decided that there's food for thought as regards our school menu. And here with more details, Olivia Bailey, Minister for Early Education, Minister of Equalities, joining me now. Good to have you on, Minister. Thank you. Might I start with that? A typical school lunch, and it was only a few years ago that you were at school. I can see that from your youthful presence. What might have been a typical school lunch for you? Minister, good morning.
Good morning. You're very generous. It was certainly more than a few years ago, unfortunately. I would say, I don't know, I think probably my favourite school lunch was maybe spag bol.
Yeah, okay.
That would be a good one. Yeah, yeah.
And what about pud? Did they give you a dessert?
Well, a good apple crumble. Can't
right,
beat it.
Okay. Yeah. So what are we looking at now? What do we want off the menu and what do we want to start feeding our youngsters, Minister?
So look, first of all, this is the first update to these standards in a decade and we want to bring them up to speed with the most recent nutritional evidence. That's really important. Parents are asking us to do it. 8 in 10 are really worried about the quality of school food and we know that there are really serious health implications for our children. So 1 in 3 children are leaving primary school overweight or obese. Tooth decay is the leading cause of admission to hospital amongst younger children and it has a big impact on the school day. So what we're doing with these standards are three simple things. We are reducing the amount of sugar that children can have in school, we're increasing the amount of fibre, and we're getting rid of some of the most unhealthy foods like deep fried foods. And this is, as I say, what parents are asking for. And it's really important that we do everything we can to support our children to be as healthy as they can be.
Can I ask you, the turkey Twizzler, does it still exist? I mean, I know it exists for adults if they want to go buy it at the supermarket or Iceland or somewhere like that. Does it exist on our children's menus?
I don't think the turkey Twizzler has been anywhere near schools for a good while, thanks to Jamie Oliver's campaigning on this, and I'm pleased that he's being supportive about our measures today. But no, certainly would not be anywhere near allowed based on the fat content and a number of other things on the standards we're announcing today.
So what sort of lunches will be served up for our children?
Well, I think the first thing to say here is we want them to be familiar food. Spag bowl that I've mentioned, apple crumble that I've mentioned. These are things which children are used to eating, and it's possible to make them in a healthier way. So we want it to be familiar food, but just made more healthy. There's lots of different examples of the kinds of things that may be, but, you know, pizzas, paninis, those things are still okay, just not as much of them, not every day. I hear stories about, you know, children who have come to talk to me about the quality of school food. They say to me it's not good enough, it makes them feel tired in school, you know, but they also tell me that actually a lot of their friends are going in and every day getting a brownie at break and a slice of pizza at lunch, and that's just not good enough. And when we all enjoy, you know, naughty food sometimes, but we shouldn't be having it all the time, and we want to get the balance right here with these standards, which is what I think we're doing.
A report yesterday in the Sunday Times said children in England, I don't have for the UK, but it's probably the same, consume double the recommended sugar. Dental decay is the leading cause of hospital admissions for children between 5 and 9. How did we get to this position, do you imagine, Minister?
You know, I think that there's lots that we're doing as a government to try and address those causes. So, for example, what we're doing on junk food advertising or the kind of pushing of these kind of products to children, we're taking action on that. I think that's maybe one explanation. I think also there's something here about enforcement of the standards, which is really important. So we do have school food standards. They haven't been updated for too long. But actually, I would say too many schools aren't properly enforcing them, and that's a problem. So today we're also saying that we want schools to publish their menus online so that children and parents can engage. We want a lead school food governor to really drive this in schools and make sure
a lead school food
in the governing body. Responsibility for somebody who does school food, and we're also committing that when we publish the results of this consultation in September, we will be announcing it's a consultation.
Oh, for the love of goodness, why can't we just do a child's lunch without having to, why has this got to go to VAR, for goodness sakes?
Well, because it's important, to be honest, Nick, that this gets enforced properly. We want to work with children to make sure that we can design menus that they're happy with. We want to work with caterers to make sure they can deliver it. We want to work with schools to make sure that they can deliver it. So we do want people to tell us what they think. But from September, these standards will be there in schools. We will have a robust compliance mechanism, which we will be announcing, to make sure that it's just on paper, but on plates.
What's a robust system? What does that look like?
Well, there's lots of options that we're considering.
Not the woman from Matilda coming round. I can't remember a character who was making it. I mean, we're not going to have her walking up and down with a stick, are we?
Miss Trunchbull.
Oh, well done. All right. Show me up. I do apologise.
So, no, there's certainly none of that. None of that. But we do think it's important that we don't just want these things on PDF on a website. We want them enforced in schools. And we have done a series of things in the past. We did a pilot a couple of years ago, for example, with the Food Standards Agency helping to do this, that kind of thing.
And lastly, on this, has fish and chips had its chips, or will it be allowed once a week or once every other week, or what do you imagine?
Fish and chips has not had its chips, we're just saying no deep fried foods. So, you know, battered fish.
How else can you have fish and chips? That has to be battered, doesn't it? Doesn't it have to be fried? Oven chips, I suppose.
Oven chips you know, breaded fish. There's lots of different ways that you can do it. So we want familiar favourites. This is not about banning any familiar favourites. It's about making them healthier, making small, simple changes to get that healthier food onto children's plates.
While I have the benefit of you on the line, a couple of other questions. Why has the advice still not been published from the Equality and Human Rights Commission as regards trans guidance? Why the delay?
So I don't accept that categorisation. I think what we have been doing is the right and responsible thing as a government, which is taking this really seriously, taking the time we need to get this right. It's really important that we get it right. And that's what we've been doing.
But the rules were sent to Bridget Phillips and your colleague, your senior, if I may say that, last September, weren't they?
We've had them for a number of months. We are working.
Why can't we have them?
because it's very important that we take our responsibility seriously to ensure that what we put forward is going to be really legally robust. We can't afford, any legal jeopardy on this issue. It's very complex and a very, very complex series of issues. We've been clear that, support the Supreme Court ruling. We want to support women-only single-sex spaces. We've been clear that service providers should follow the law, but I think it is right, and I won't apologise for it, because I think it's right that we take the time we need to get this very complicated issue
right. Well, how much longer, Minister? You've had 7 months. Will it be before the summer?
I'm not going to get into speculation on timings, I'm afraid, but what I will say is that we're working on this with the urgency and the care that you would expect, and we'll put it forward as soon as
you realise some of my listeners might chuckle a little bit into their breakfast when you say that your urgency with 7 months. Seriously?
It's very complex legal document, and we're treating it very seriously.
All right. What about the idea of introducing statutory menstrual leave for people with endometriosis and other conditions? I understand that that's something debated by the government. Again, in your position as Minister for Equality, is that something on which you would have a view, Minister?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some plans that we've been talking about in regard to this. I think it's really important that we do everything we can to support women in the workplace menopause is a really crucial issue, and it's important that we support women who are going through it.
All right. Lastly, just coming back to school food and breakfasts, can I have your assurance that after the success yesterday, marmalade will still be on the menu for our children at breakfast clubs in the schools?
Yes to marmalade, but not loads of sugar.
All right. Paddington's got to take a little bit of sugar out of his marmalade.
A little bit of sugar out of his hat, but it'll still be there.
Then marmalade can survive. Grateful for your time. Olivia Bailey, Minister for Early Education, Minister for Equalities, giving us the update on what, hopefully, eventually, we'll get through onto your children's school dinner plates. 8 o'clock, LBC News headlines are next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, Iran has warned any military ships attempting to approach the Strait of Hormuz will be dealt with harshly and decisively. The US Navy is set to begin its blockade of the key shipping lane this afternoon after peace talks with Iran collapsed on Saturday. The price of Brent crude oil has again spiked overnight, rising above $100 a barrel. The deputy leader of the Liberal Democrats, Daisy Cooper, has told Nick her party will move today to try and lobby for a cut to fuel duty.
We're going to table a motion in Parliament today to try and force the government's hand to act now. The government says that they might consider some help in the autumn, but families and businesses everywhere know that they're getting hit in the pocket. We're appealing to the Chancellor to use the money that she is getting from the additional taxes that are coming from the increased prices in fuel to actually reduce prices at the pump, but also for train fares and for bus fares as well.
Ireland's government has announced fresh tax cuts on petrol and diesel overnight. It follows widespread protests in the country over the past few days over rising prices. Sir Keir Starmer is planning a law which will mean the UK government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. The reported measure is part of a bill aiming to align with new EU regulations in areas such as food standards. Ministers hope it would reduce costs for shoppers, but the idea has already prompted opposition from the Conservatives and Reform, which say such a move would be a betrayal of the Brexit referendum. There's been celebrations on the streets of Hungary overnight following a landslide election that swept aside Vladimir Putin's ally Viktor Orban. Petra Madja's Tisza party has promised to lift a block on military aid from the EU to Ukraine. Foods that are high in sugar or deep fried could be banned from school menus across England. The government is setting out plans to tackle childhood obesity. All schools will also have to publish their menus online. Minister for Early Education, Olivia Bailey, has just told Nick the proposed change would be the first in over a decade.
What we're doing with these standards are three simple things. We are reducing the amount of sugar that children can have in school, we're increasing the amount of fibre, and we're getting rid of some of the most unhealthy foods like deep fried foods. And this is, as I say, what parents are asking for, and it's really important that we do everything we can to support our children to be as healthy as they can be.
And a six-day strike by resident doctors in England has come to an end this morning. Members of the British Medical Association walked out in a row over pay and jobs. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,600. It closed down 3 points on Friday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers developing in the north by the afternoon. A high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Monday, April the 13th. Coming up in this hour, the Prime Minister seeks to adopt so-called Henry VIII powers as regards EU rules. Some parties getting quite excited and concerned about this, even using words, oh dear, as betrayal of Brexit. What is the reality? We will try to get to that. Meanwhile, in other news, the reality as regards those steaming gangs, or link-ups as they're called, as seen by this woman, Kemi Badenoch. Here she's talking about energy bills.
We've identified £4 billion of savings which can be used, transferring from the failed net zeros project, being used to scrap VAT on household bills.
Now, she'll be talking about that, but also when she joins us later in the hour, talking about the article in one of the newspapers yesterday, The Mail on Sunday. She looked at that link-up, or steaming gang, and she writes that the children seem to have Caribbean or African heritage. The fact is, children in Lagos and Nairobi do not behave in that way. Why? She'll give the answer later in this hour. If we're talking about Conservative leaders...
We want a deal where we can have relationships with as many other women as sorry, countries. I'm so sorry. It's very, very early.
It's not actually him, of course. It's not Boris Johnson. It's Rory Bremner. And Rory will be joining us later in this hour to talk about the provision and indeed support for children of SEND, special educational needs and disabilities. Something that, of course, we talk so much about. And in other news, we will talk more about the conversation I had with the relevant minister. So-called statutory menstrual leave. How would it work? How would you get it? How would it apply? And indeed, how long would the leave be? We'll give you all the details. And stand aside, Stephen Sondheim et al.
You've just made
the triumph and success of Paddington the Musical at last night's Olivier's.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Let's try and get the sense of what already some headline writers are getting pretty excited about. For the Daily Telegraph, EU rules to be imposed on Britain under Labour plans. For the Daily Mail, Brexit betrayal, Labour plots to deny MPs vote on new EU sellout. And even for the Times, Starmer seeks to adopt EU rules by using Henry VIII's powers. Now, before we get excited on either sense, either this is a Brexit betrayal or it's shifting us back into the European, whatever the reality... We'll hear from an expert, and indeed we'll hear from a former political editor as well. But here's a little bit on the subject from Sir Keir Starmer, speaking with the BBC back in January.
I've always been clear that we need a closer relationship with the EU. That is in our national interest. And we've taken important steps towards that with the EU-UK reset. And it is a reset. Mm-hmm. Relations between the UK and the EU... are in the best position they've been for 10 years. We've already taken steps on food and agriculture to align with the single market. That's the sovereign decision that we have taken. I think we should get closer, if it's in our national interest, in our interest, to have even closer alignment with the single market, then we should consider that. We should go that far.
What is the reality? when I saw these headlines, before I even sat down, I said to my colleague, there's only one person we need to speak, with whom we must speak, to find out what's going on. And we got her! Catherine Barnard is Professor of EU Law at the University of Cambridge and a Fellow at the UK in a Changing Europe. Oh, Catherine, here we go again. So, I can hear you chuckling down the line. I'm so glad that you weren't on holiday or away or celebrating in Hungary or whatever it might have been. What is the reality as you see it? Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. Do you want to discuss dynamic alignment? This is what's going on.
I always want to discuss dynamic alignment with you, Catherine, at any time, any time of the morning. Go ahead. Let's go for it, Professor.
Right. So I'll tell you what's happening. As part of Keir Starmer's reset, there are three main areas that he is negotiating with the EU. One of them is what's called SPS, sanitary, phytosanitary, which to you and me is food and veterinary stuff.
Right.
Now,
not often you hear a word stuff used from a professor of Cambridge, but do go on. Food and veterinary stuff.
So it's anything, basically, or to use the jargon, again, it's agri-food, it's sometimes called, but basically it's food.
Yep.
And essentially, one of the things that Brexit has taught us is that there is much more friction on the border for any company that wants to export food or agri-food stuff to the EU. Mm-hmm. So Keir Starmer wants to have a deal with the EU over all of this. Now, that basically means if we're going to sign up to the EU rules, we're going to have dynamic alignment, which means we've got to follow new EU rules. And you might remember the story last week about marmalade.
Yes.
Very appropriate in the light of the Paddington. But in respect of marmalade, there are new rules about labelling of marmalade, and that is one of the things that we will have to comply with. Now, where the row has arisen is that how do we actually do that? There's going to be an Act of Parliament which will give ministers powers to pass secondary legislation to comply with EU rules, which is exactly what happened when we were member states of the EU. And also, you must recall when we discussed this repeatedly during the Brexit period, lots of the Brexit legislation put forward by the Conservative government also contained powers for lots of this secondary legislation, which doesn't get the same level of scrutiny as an Act of Parliament does. That's where the rub lies.
What's a Henry VIII power, Professor?
Henry VIII power is a power in an Act of Parliament which gives ministers powers to adopt secondary law, which doesn't go through the full scrutiny process, and those powers can amend the Act of Parliament itself, and it's called Henry VIII after said king, because he used to think he could do what he wanted.
When Sir Keir Starmer says we're in the best place for 10 years in our relations with our friends in Europe, would you concur?
Things are certainly better, closer, but there is lots of problems ahead still over negotiating the SPS agreement. That's the food deal I mentioned. There's also a couple of other deals. One is about energy, one is about emissions trading, and the other one that's causing real problems, actually, is the one over youth mobility, in a scheme whereby people under 30 can travel to work or holiday for up to 2 years. This is proving a real headache for the EU and the UK at the moment.
Do we know why? What's the cause of that headache, Professor?
Yeah, actually, it's law. I thought that would cheer you up. It's the law, because there's a question about whether the EU actually has the powers to commit member states to allow British nationals to work in the individual countries. See, usually it's up to the individual member states to decide who comes into their country, and the EU doesn't actually have the powers to do that, and that's where the rub lies with the youth mobility scheme.
So the way to characterise this is it seems to be, in a sense, a necessary tidying up of issues as regards frictionless travel for agri-food and other items. That's a very broad-brush journalistic expression.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where we've just got to be a bit careful is this is not rejoining the single market or the customs union. It's in really quite a narrow area, and it will also help deal with friction on the GB Northern Ireland border. Right. And so this is not, I think we've got to be careful, this is not single market, and Keir Starmer's absolutely clear that we are not rejoining the single market. Indeed, there's no legal way to rejoin the single market. market. It's also not the customs union. It's a relatively narrow area, but it's an area that will make quite a lot of difference to our exporters. One other thing to say is part of the reset deal is that we, the UK, will have some role in decision shaping. Now, I know I've been full of jargon this morning, but decision shaping is we will at least be consulted on some of the new rules. It doesn't necessarily say mean we'll get listened to, but we will be consulted. And that's where Parliament really does need to step up so it knows what's coming down the track so it can have more of an input.
Professor Catherine Barnard knows her stuff. Thank you. You're Professor of EU Law at the University of Cambridge. You're a fellow of UK and a Changing Europe. So that's the legal side. Let's get the political interpretation now from George Pascoe Watson. As an award-winning columnist, former political editor at The Sun Broadcaster, now partner at the firm Shillings, joins me now. George, we can count down almost, well, certainly in weeks, if not days, to the local election. Is he playing with a ticking bomb here, Sir Keir Starmer taking this action, or is it, as the professor says, just a bit of a tidy-up? George, morning.
Well, it's both, really. I mean, from a political perspective, Keir Starmer, as you know, is under enormous threat for his job from the left of the Labour Party, and the left of the Labour Party are worried about losing their seats, either as MPs or in these forthcoming local elections to the Greens, and maybe some Lib Dems. And so there's a sort of drag on the left to the left. And Keir Starmer is doing what he can to shore himself up with the few weeks left in those local elections. Why? Because he knows that if Labour are trounced in those local elections, then that's very bad news for his ability to stay as leader of the Labour Party. I personally think he will. However, that's one part of the story. The other part of the story, of course, is that Catherine is right. On one level, this will make frictionless fruit and veg and these types of food trade is much more easy when it comes to importing and exporting to the European Union. That, however, is only half the story. What we didn't get into in that discussion is what a lot of people in politics will feel very uncomfortable about, which is MPs will not be able to vote on these measures. So the European Union, the Commission in Brussels, will make up the rules and we will have to go along with them, and there will not be any opportunity for British members of Parliament voting on behalf of their constituents to say yes or no. For sure, there will be the opportunity for MPs to guide and help shape some of those laws in these areas. But it's a point of principle, Nick, that a lot of people in politics and a lot of people who voted Brexit will be very uncomfortable about.
So you rightly are looking down the line. While as this sort of business makes sense with agri-food, frictionless travel, what might Henry VIII powers be used for in a year, two, 3 years to come, George?
Well, who knows? And yeah, that's the point.
That's the point you're making, yeah.
In a point of principle, once you've broken the principle, why not add something else which seems, on the face of it, very obvious and straightforward? And that's the whole point about the European project, is that it goes for ever closer union. And that is the phrase that lots of Brexiteers have worried about ever since day one. And that ultimately means a single government and a single currency and a single tax in Europe. So that's what we're up against here. It's the very, very beginnings of what some people would say is a slippery slope.
As ever, George, thank you. George Pascoe Watson, broadcaster, columnist, was political editor at The Sun, partner at Shillings. We've given you the legal and now the political interpretations. We'll take your views on that. And coming up after the news, I know how important, because of the times we speak about SEND, especially if you have a child or children, or you have SEND issues yourself. Be hearing from Rory Brenner, who's putting a group together in Parliament. He'll be explaining what he hopes that will bring about after this. It's 8:16, LBC News Headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
There's fresh uncertainty over the Middle East ceasefire after President Trump said he doesn't care if Iran returns to peace talks. It's reported Sir Keir Starmer's planning a law which will mean the UK government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. And deep-fried food is set to be banned from the school canteen in England as part of efforts to tackle childhood obesity. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, some showers developing in the north later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Lengthy delays on the A4 eastbound all the way from Chiswick to the Hammersmith flyover. Obviously, there's a lot of extra traffic on the A4 because of the closure of the A40, but a car broke down. It's just this moment being recovered, but it's still very slow. Also, delays continue in Whitechapel with Dock Street being closed both ways, and Great Eastern Road in Stratford is closed northbound from the High Street up to Stratford bus station because of an ongoing investigation. On the Surrey stretch of the M25, it's very very busy anti-clockwise to Junction 12 at the M3, and that's where a car broke down earlier. Southeastern trains are delayed at Charing Cross, and there are minor delays on the Metropolitan line.
This is LBC.
At TUI, we give you more. More outfit choices, with 20 kilograms of luggage allowance as standard. More hotels, built around what you love, like that swim-up suite. More race you to the bottom, water parks on site. More, ooh, that looks good, food options, from poolside snacks to a la carte dining. Book on app, in-store or online. You book it, TUI sort it. Atoll and APTA protected. T's and C's apply. Selected hotels only. See website for details.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
And when teams feel supported, they can achieve anything.
Sorry. Just had even more of my team are off ill.
Have you tried Benenden Health? It's easy to set up. They've got a GP helpline you can book 24/7.
Where were we?
A coffee break, hopefully.
Press play on your people's health with a wide range of healthcare services for less than £16 per employee per month. Search Benenden for Business. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Dreaming of a new kitchen? Getting started couldn't be easier. At Wix, you can begin planning your new kitchen with our design consultants. Simply arrange a free home measure or an in-store design consultation. Book your free kitchen design appointment and turn all your ideas into reality at Wix.
At Pets in a Pickle, we're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You, the daddy of air conditioning. For over 15 years, Cool You have specialised in installing our fully internal aircon systems throughout London with no mess, no fuss and no external condenser. And from April the 10th to the 19th, come and meet me and the team at the Ideal Home Show, London Olympia. Cool You. For a cool, comfortable home.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
20 minutes after 8, there are many things for which I'm grateful for the job I do, not least is how I'm informed by you on a regular basis. And on this one, you really have brought it home. The issue of SEND, special educational needs and disabilities children. Every time I speak about it on the radio, I'm heartened by how many of you call in and the level of which you're prepared to discuss your stories. And just let's remind you of the scale. Nearly one in five children in England, I don't know about the UK, but in England, have SEND. And now EHCP, these special plans that are put together, have more than doubled over the last few years. Someone who feels very strongly about this is comedian, impressionist, all-round good egg, Rory Bremner, who's chuckling in the background and is hosting an event in Parliament later today. Rory, thanks for coming into the studio. You look very well.
Pleasure, thank you. All-round good Easter egg. We've gone past Easter. Thank you very much. Whatever you're doing
is keeping you fit. Right, why do you feel motivated by this, Rory?
Okay, well, I've been advocating for some time for children with ADHD. That's my own particular thing. I had my own diagnosis about 10 years or so ago. And what we're talking about today is, as you say, special educational needs, which you've been very good advocating for as well yourself. The previous Education Secretary, Gillian Keegan, said that the system was broken. It was lose-lose, as she described. It wasn't good for the teachers, wasn't good for the pupils. This government is now picking it up, and they've got a white paper out at the moment. But what we're talking about today is we're bringing together the parents of the most vulnerable children. And this is a tiny proportion, because you mentioned one in 20 has an education health plan.
Yep.
But it's even 2%, so that's 5%. But 2% of those are children who are... They're traumatised, in many cases got terrible sensory overload, suffer from extreme anxiety, and they are never really going to be able to be involved in the mainstream. So the move is to include children more, but in these cases, inclusion is often exclusion, because they find themselves in a school where they simply can't cope, it triggers their anxiety, they're picked on, they're bullied, and in the worst cases, there's a piece in the Telegraph, actually, which has just been pointed out to me today, where some of these children, they were violent, they were kept in mainstream school, and the result was that children got stabbed, and one or two, I mean, there's terrible sort of triggering cases of murder that you read about over there. So that's at the extreme end. But we're talking about the most vulnerable children. And people who are on this spectrum, as we used to call it, sort of neurodivergent people, I mean, these are very, very commonly occurring conditions. I mean, 1 in 10 of us has dyslexia, 1 in 20, I think, dyspraxia, which is, you know, we used to be called clumsy, Charles, you know, I mean, that's a terrible term, but dyspraxia. ADHD is 1 in 20, and autism is 1 in 67. These are naturally occurring conditions, so and they're seen as disorders, and I just think of them in terms of differences. These are children who are different, and the system simply doesn't work for them. They need special provision, and the case is being made, look, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater if you're wanting to include people more and more. For some, that's not going to work. Just to make an analogy, it's like sort of say, it's like if you said you love sport. I know you love your sport. If you sort of said, I know, let's include everyone in sport, and you're putting the cricket players and the football players on the same pitch, it's not going to work because the footballers, let's say, if the footballers are the people with the really complex special needs in this analogy only, the cricketers are going to say, what's happening? We've got these footballers running havoc over off you. So they're playing two different games, and. It doesn't work for the children who are in mainstream education to have children in their classroom who have extreme complex needs. So it's we're turning a lose-lose from a win-win. It's a win-win for the child who's able to get the special provision that he or she needs, and it's a win-win for those in the classroom who aren't having to cope with the child with complex needs in their classroom. So
what's the level of awareness like, Rory, in our schools, in our health trusts, among our politicians?
Mm-hmm. I think it's got better now. I mean, we get a little bit of a pushback now. It's got to that, you know how it goes, like a pendulum. Yep. I think like mental health generally, people are talking about it more, and in particular, my own particular sort of specialism of ADHD, it's got to the stage where, oh God, everyone's got ADHD.
A lot of people say, I want to challenge you, because there will be people now who will change. Yeah. Indeed, there was a story in one of the papers.
Indeed.
Too many children are prescribed drugs, says ADHD expert.
Yeah, well, he's an expert. He doesn't deny ADHD exists. He doesn't deny ADHD. And we're talking about the margins. That's not the focus of what we're talking about today. Yep. So he is an expert, and I think we can argue about how much of it is hereditary. My own understanding is that 80% of cases ADHD is hereditary, and 20% is birth trauma, but it does exist. But the pushback is saying, oh, it's overdiagnosed. If, as I said, that figure of 1 in 20 has ADHD, that would mean in our population you'd have about 3 million people in the population, and currently there's about 250,000 people on ADHD meds. 250,000 people on ADHD meds. There are 9 million people on antidepressants in the country. So where is the epidemic? And I know you're wearing very attractive green glasses on today, but people say, it's like saying, oh, if you notice everyone going around wearing glasses, are they just doing it to be fashionable? No, they found a way of seeing more clearly. So that's what I'd say. So I think in answer to your awareness question, people are more aware of it and they're more understanding. But today is all about, in Parliament, in Port Coleshurst, it's taking... And these are heartbreaking stories. These are parents who their child has been refused from 25 different schools.
Right.
They've not been able to get... They've had to fight. Some of them had to pay anything from £3,500 to £17,000 to get their case heard, to get their educational health care plan, EHCP, to get the plan. They've had to fight. Not only have they got a daily fight with their child, who can be really severely damaged and difficult, they've had to fight the system as well. And what we're saying is... let them be heard, let their voices be heard, because in 99% of the cases, when it goes to tribunal, the tribunal finds in the favour of the parents and say, we understand, listen. And when the tribunal goes, we understand, your child needs special provision, why not give that up front? Why put them through years of the battle to get there? So I say we're talking about a very small number of children, the most vulnerable. Let them be heard in this consultation.
What does success look like from your session later today, Rory?
Success looks like the government taking on board that there are some children for whom inclusion will not work.
Do you have government representatives there today? There
will be. Well, I'm hoping there will be. But it's about being heard. So the success today would be that they are understood that for some children, this one-size-fits-all will not work. There are some children that are... their needs are so extreme, their needs are so severe and so complex that they need that special provision, and that needs to be borne in mind, and that needs to be front and centre of the government's policy, and they shouldn't be squeezed out in the interests of just of including everybody.
When Rory Bremner discovered he had ADHD, what did that mean to him?
It was interesting because, it confirmed something I knew already. It's my best friend and my worst enemy, in the sense that...
Expand on that. I've got to ask you to expand on that.
Well, worst enemy, it's not always great to be disorganised or impetuous or impulsive or irrepressible. But on the other hand, it's got my brain bounces around all over the place. You've seen it in action. You see when I'm working.
Yes, I have.
Even now,
times.
You know, when I talk like Trump, it just comes into my head. I don't know why that is, but you know, that's the way it is. Or Boris, you know, you said this chair was... really Boris. So I've got a brain that really works. And so, but for many of us, you know how many comedians have ADHD. But also, you know, these are people, talk about the special educational needs. Francis Ford Coppola said, the things you're excluded from school for are often the things you get lifetime achievement awards for later in life. So if we invest in these children, this is the thing. They say, oh, gosh, it's expensive, special provision. It's a lot more expensive to keep these them in prison if they end up in the prison, in the criminal justice system.
At its most extreme, presumably, these youngsters either go on to become criminal, or some instances, do they actually take their lives?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. It's about, that is, again, part of neurodivergence, part of ADHD, again, that, yes, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And so if you catch this early, and if you're able to give the provision for those who need it, but if they are understood, and that's part of your, as you said, you've talked about it during your programme, there is greater awareness. They can be the best and the brightest. We're talking about the Mozarts. We're talking about the Da Vincis. We're talking about the Elon Musks. We're talking about the Steve Jobs. We're talking about people who... They go on to achieve amazing things because they, and people who are neurodivergent, ADHD and autism, they're overrepresented now in the tech industries are employing them precisely because their brains are not disordered, they're different. But today is, I guess I say, is about the most vulnerable and saying do not squeeze these people out of the system. These people need a special kind of provision, and their stories need to be heard, and that's what today's about.
All right, well, I'll give you my personal email when you go. If there's any more I can do to help, let me know how you get on today, but if you want to come back on at any time, I think some of your colleagues have told you I'm quite invested in this, so I want to do what I can.
Well, me too.
I'll give you that. Just before, my listeners are going to have to ask your take. The world is beyond satire at the moment, Rory Bremner.
It's totally beyond. Well, you know, you heard about my board of peace, Nick. I'm board of peace. That's why I started a war. Because, you know, if you want a peace prize, sometimes you got to stop a war. That means you have to start one in the first place. And we've seen the space shuttle, which have had, you know, the most diverse crew ever. They had a black American, a white American, a woman, a Canadian, and Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. I mean, I don't know if you saw on the... He was that face at the back, you know that face that looked as though he was... I managed to get him a ticket. You know, I got a ticket on eBay. Actually, I think it was Moonpig. And so they said, what do you want, single or return? I said, what do you think? So there's a lot out there. And my tour, actually, since you mentioned it.
Come on.
That's not why I'm here today. But
no, I know, but I'm asking you, so I'm going to make you do it.
If you go online, it's called Making an Impression. Look online, Making an Impression, and I'll be going to Cheltenham, to King's Lynn, to Ipswich, and to Guildford and Fareham. Making an Impression, if you want to come see the tour, doing 7 dates of those. But meanwhile, alongside the day job, is this afternoon helping the most vulnerable children's voices be heard.
Send me a note on how you get on.
I will
tell the listeners this time tomorrow. Pleasure seeing you.
And you.
Best of luck with all the campaigning.
Thanks so much.
Rory Bremner appearing on LBC, taking us to 8:30. LBC News headlines.
The US Navy is preparing to impose its blockade of Iranian ports following the collapse of peace talks on Saturday. The Trump administration is trying to pressure Tehran, which has itself been blocking traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Sir Keir Starmer is understood to be planning measures which mean the government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. It'll reportedly form part of a bill aimed at aligning the UK with new EU regulations in areas such as food standards. And deep-fried food will be banned from school menus in England as part of efforts to tackle childhood obesity. Sweet treats like ice cream, puddings and cakes will also be limited to try and fight tooth decay. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers developing in the north by the afternoon. A high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC.
Tony, what do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Scott has called from Glasgow. Hi, Scott.
Jane's in Camden first. Hi, Jane.
Households will benefit from £150 off of their energy bills with a price cap giving households certainty on their bills until July.
Hear every side of the story.
You feel like asking what your luxury now to heat your house. Farmer is going to have to get involved.
I'm at the petrol station and it's just cost me nearly £100 to fill up half.
I'm almost in my 40s and I haven't ever had a break in war. In any of these living costs.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's...
My tip is...
Weight loss?
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped
for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973.
Fascinating talking with Rory Bremner. Of course, the amount of heft and strength that someone can bring to a campaign when you have that high public profile. Karen's in Farnborough. Karen, what do you want to take from that conversation? Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to say, love Rory Bremner and what he is doing for kids.
Top bloke.
Amazing. So I wanted to give you a good luck story because I hear all the people ringing about Send. I went to see my headmaster and my son's junior school said he needs help.
I'm just going to, it's a bit of a bad line. You went to see your son's headmaster at junior school because he needed some help. Well, yep.
Yes, and he laughed me out the door and said, you haven't got a hope. He's not bad enough. I said back to him, we'll see about that. I took the education system on. I got my son into a specialist school place where he thrived, grew into the amazing adult he is today. The moment he experienced mainstream when he went to university, it didn't work, it was a disaster, and he dropped out. And I wanted to ring and say, he's not elite, okay? He's diagnosed with autism. Mm-hmm. He's flown for 3 years with EasyJet, and he's just about to start his training course with BA in 10 days.
Sorry, when you say flown, is he crew? Is he a pilot?
He's crew.
Perfect. Okay, brilliant. Okay. Farnborough in Kent, Farnborough in Hampshire. Where are you?
Farnborough in Hampshire.
How helpful or otherwise was the local authority when you started to challenge them?
Excuse me. It's horrendous. Everybody, you've got to be prepared to do whatever it takes to get what you need to give your child the best start. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. But all I can say is, am I allowed to say the school?
Were they helpful?
Amazing, the yes. school. So my friend went to Morehouse.
It just saves my team having to ring a school later.
No. Morehouse. So it's a boys' school in Farnham. At the time I got him in, it was the number one school for RST children, for boys. That absolutely changed his life.
And I'm going to finish soon because the line's a bit bouncy, but how long did it take you?
I was lucky because he's 21 now.
Well, the line's perfect now. Extraordinary.
Oh,
sorry, go on.
Yes. He's 21 now, so right. I started this when he was about 7.
Oh, good God. But when did you get him into that super school? How old was he when you got him into that school?
I got it done in a year.
Gosh.
I don't think that would be people's experience today because the volume of people who were trying to access what I accessed. But as a parent, I can tell you it is a life-changing choice to get your child in the right place to grow in a safe environment.
Can I ask you lastly a question, and I hope the line holds to this calibre because it's perfect. Same question I asked Rory Bremner about 15 minutes ago. What is the level of awareness in education, in health and in political circles, do you think, Karen?
I think in our generation, I'm in my late 50s, there was nothing. And I think all of us now are understanding we had it. And it's an uphill battle.
Karen, I will leave it there. Well done. I'm so pleased your son is working out so well. He's going air crew. You've sorted out the problems. You must be very, very proud on. I wish him happy and safe training with EasyJet. Karen, thank you for that. Let's move to other matters. And a very powerful piece in one of the newspapers yesterday, the Mail on Saturday, by a politician who doesn't pull their punches. I speak of the Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch. And the article was accompanied with photographs of mostly, it would seem, teenage boys, doing a link-up, or I knew it, as steaming in parts of London. Mrs. Badenoch writes, all of us were shocked by the phone footage of children smashing up shops in broad daylight, stealing, laughing, filming themselves as though it were a game. Some commentators immediately reached for a racial explanation, but that was to miss the point completely, says the Conservative leader. Going on, while the majority of young looters in Clapham, South London, seem to have Caribbean or African heritage, the fact is children in Lagos and Nairobi do not behave that way. Why? Because in Nigeria and Kenya, the boundaries are clear, actions have consequences. Parents, communities, authorities do not wring their hands or look the other way. It's a lesson we've forgotten here. Kemi Badenoch joins me now. What's the lesson we need to learn? Mrs. Badenoch, good morning.
Good morning. If people think that they can get away with doing bad things, then we will see more bad things happen. We are not enforcing anymore. Enforcement is disappearing across the board. Shoplifting is going through the roof. Even the borders, lots of people know that if they get to our shores, they're not going to be deported. We have a one-in-one-out scheme with France where people are sent to France and then they're coming back. It's all part of the same thing. We need to bring back consequences for people's negative actions. The people who are really suffering are the law-abiding. They will be driving at 22 miles per hour. They'll get a parking ticket. They've got a parking ticket. They're in the wrong place. They'll get a speeding fine. They get points on their licenses. They're, you know, minor things, petty things. But the people committing real crimes are getting away with it. We're letting prisoners out too early. Sentences are not enough. And with the young people in particular, social media is creating new ways for them to cause trouble. And if nothing happens, then they believe they've gotten away with it.
But Mrs. Badenoch, are we, some would say we're letting people out of prisons because in power, the Conservatives, your party, did not build enough in 14 years in power.
People will say that. We had plans to build prisons. I remember we went into the election with a manifesto to build prisons. COVID happened. There was a prison building program in place. It is still not an excuse. There were other things which we had looked at, using foreign prisons, for example. But we're not in government anymore. What's this government doing? They don't have any prison building plans at all. They don't want to. This is something that they want to do. There were a lot of things that we got wrong previously. But you look at the last Conservative government, there was looting in 2011. And what happened after that? Swift justice. And it didn't happen again for a very long time. This new generation has done this and nothing's happened.
But
instead,
this slide didn't just happen in the last 20 months, did it, Mrs. Badenoch?
No. I'm not saying that this slide has happened in the last 20 months. I'm saying that when things like that happen, you need to deal with it very quickly or you're going to get it again and again and again.
So what happens with the... You are, I know you won't mind me sharing, you're of Nigerian lineage. What happens in the Nigerian family dynamic that we're not seeing here in the UK, would you say?
It goes well beyond the family dynamic, but I know if I had ever been caught doing anything like that, I would have been in so much trouble. And it wouldn't have just been with my
would
parents.
Would you have had a
probably,
clip around the ear?
I would have had worse than a clip around the ear. But also...
What's
I mean,
worse
it's not
than a clip around the ear, Mrs. Badenoch?
There are many things. That, yes, Nick, I know you have an imagination that is very, very creative. You can
imagine.
And
would it be mum or dad who handed out the discipline or both?
But to be honest, the punishment went beyond parents, extended family. You wouldn't be allowed out. You would be punished by the rest of society. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's something that we should have here, but they're very quick responses when young people get out of line. Those countries still have a lot of crime. It's different with adults, but there is a difference. You don't see young people committing crime out of fun. This is a fun thing to do. Let's go out and smash some shops. That just doesn't happen. The crime is real crime.
In the piece in the Daily Mail on Saturday, you wrote about taking a visit with some beat officers in Croydon in South London. What did you learn from that?
That they are frustrated. That they, when they catch people, the same people again and again, they get let off. Or they're not even prosecuted. CPS says it's too hard, it's too difficult. And a lot of people are thinking it's not really worth being a police officer anymore if you do this and it doesn't make any difference. A lot of their time is spent on things that really are social work. So they're not dealing with frontline issues. They're dealing with a lot of problems with mental health. And that's not really why they went into the force. And I hear it everywhere. In Essex, where I am an MP, my police say the same thing. Essex police are also frustrated that they're getting dragged into the capital to police all the protests. You know, Gaza protests today, pro-Palestine tomorrow, people protesting the Iran war. They're leaving other counties to help sort out the mess that's in London. When they want to be at home, they're not getting their leave. They're not able to go on holiday. Their holidays are cancelled. The police are very frustrated. And we need to back them. We need to do a lot more. That That's why I'm talking about taking back our streets this local election. We need to bring back immediate justice, certainly more police officers, 10,000 more, but getting them to solve real crimes, not do social work or paperwork, but the things that we want police to do, make our lives better by making the streets safer.
Obviously, a police officer, he or she can only be in one place. Are you suggesting that this concentration on nicking people for 22 miles an hour and a 20-mile limit, is that wrong in your view, Mrs. Badenoch?
So I think that these fines should be about safety, not about making money. And also the...
But it is a safety issue, isn't it? If you're meant to do 20 and you're doing 22,
well, I think it's. I think they're more environmental issues. I think that the 20-mile-per-hour zones that are there are mostly around the environment. I don't think that's what people should be getting points on their license for. They should be getting points on their license for driving dangerously. 22 miles per hour is very different from driving dangerously. I think let's bring some balance into it. I heard about a taxi driver. An MP was telling me about his constituent. A taxi driver drove 21 miles per hour three times in a 20 zone. He's now lost his license. That's his livelihood. I'm not sure that that's fair. What I want is for the police to be doing the things that everybody else can't do. Catching burglars, catching shoplifters, catching those people who are hurting us, who are running around stabbing people. And children need to make need to be dealt with so that they don't think that looting is a way for them to spend their Easter holidays, because
well,
it isn't.
Your point is well made. There's a story in one of the papers today. A consultant forensic psychiatrist has 9 points on his license. He's done 22 and 23 in a 20-mile zone, and now a consultant psychiatrist could lose their job as a result of this, I would say, zealous policing.
So I just think that the law-abiding people in this country are having to deal with more and more. It's more taxes, more rules, more regulations. They can't do this, they can't do that. And yet, the people who are doing the really bad stuff are getting away with it. And the Conservative Party is the party of law and order. I'm not here to say that we were perfect before. You won't let me get away with that,
no,
Nick. We absolutely were not. We made mistakes.
Far from
but
it.
We're under new management now, and I'm saying this is the sort of person I am. I'm a law and order Conservative. I want us to catch crooks, put them behind bars, and if they're really bad, keep them there as long as we possibly can.
Last minute or so together, can I take you a couple of other matters? Mrs. Badenoch, can you deduce exactly where this country is as regards a so-called Chagos deal? Is it on? Is it off? Is it in abeyance?
As far as I'm concerned, that deal is dead, dead, dead. The Labour Party is trying to give it life support. We should not be surrendering British sovereign territory, which has a strategic military base in the middle of a war. And then we're paying £35 billion of your listeners' money to do so. It's completely crazy. And this is being done because of reparations. And Keir Starmer, you know, he loves this sort of stuff. So does David Lammy and Lord Hermer, the guy who's really behind it. And we need to make sure that we stop this deal from happening. Conservatives have fought it every step of the way. There were talks about this when we were in government, and we said no, no, no. Labour came in and said yes, yes, yes. It's very weak for them to do this. And I'm glad that between the Conservative peers and the Lords, and to be honest, many other parties have got involved, and the US saying, we don't like this, this is not what you should be doing within a war. It's pretty much killed it for now, and I hope it stays dead.
Talking about conflict, you have reported to have said initially that you were in support of the US activities in Iran. Can you clarify that position, if you would, for my listeners? And where are you now with the idea of US-led blockade in the Strait of Hormuz?
So if the US is in a war with Iran, we are on the side of the US. The Conservative Party is. Iran is an enemy of this country. It's tried to carry out terrorist attacks here. It would wipe us out if it could. It calls us Little Satan. So we are on the side of the US. What I asked the Prime Minister to do is what Australia and Canada did, express that support. That's what I meant by support. I was talking about verbal support. Keir Starmer wants people to think that I wanted him to join the initial strikes. I never said that. I did say that if British bases are being attacked, then he needs to do more, that it's not enough just to try and catch the missiles or catch the arrows. He should go after the missile launch capability, something which he has now moved closer to. He's also done the thing I asked him to do, let the US use our bases. He said no, and now he's had to U-turn on that, like with many other things. So this is not a war that we started, but we've been dragged into it, whether we like it or not. We need to start focusing on what we can do. It's quite clear that since we left, the things have gotten worse in the military. It took 2 weeks to get a ship out of Portsmouth. Why don't we do what we can? Drill our own oil and gas in the North Sea. Their oil supply is shrinking across the world. We've got it right underneath us. And And Ed Miliband has told him no. That's nonsense.
Let me ask you, lastly, the idea of racism with the NHS, and I apologise in advance for a word. I know you well enough to say it, but I'm sorry I'm going to have to say this. An NHS England boss, Lucy Hunt, who's the National Programme Manager for Apprenticeships, is under investigation after hurling a number of racist posts at you and using the word, I apologise in advance, the word coconut. What does that say about racism within the NHS, Mrs. Badenoch?
Well, this woman is obviously some kind of cretin. I mean, who knows how she's looking after patients and other people, or even her own colleagues. I don't think that this reflects on racism within the NHS more than this particular individual. I'm glad to see that she is being investigated. The NHS is a place that should not be one where we see discrimination, either against patients or against the staff who work there. It is a service for all, and it should not be one where the people who work there think that it is fine to express ridiculous opinions like that.
Should we worry about Henry VIII's powers, lastly, Kemi Badenoch? This is the idea that Sir Keir Starmer moves us to closer of an alignment of the EU in so-called agri-food areas. But there is a fear that although that might mean frictionless borders, it could be further in time, of course, used to deny people like you and your colleagues a parliamentary vote on certain matters. Kemi Badenoch.
It's the worst of both worlds. So we're not in the EU where we can have a say. And we are, but we're still taking the rules and we're not using our sovereignty. That's the worst of both worlds. The EU, certainly as Trade Secretary, what I saw is that the EU wants to compete with the UK. It's not going to make rules that are going to make our lives easier. It's going to make rules that make life easier for them. We have to do what's right for the British national interest. And what I see is that Keir Starmer doesn't have any ideas. They came in with some of their lefty campaigns, let's tax private schools, we're going to take away the winter fuel payment, let's tax farmers, and all sorts of stupid things, half of which they've had to reverse anyway, or we'll give away the Chagos Islands. They've run out of ideas. They don't know how to create growth. They don't know how to help businesses. We're telling them what to do. Abolish business rates on the high street, scrap stamp duty, cut VAT off energy bills, use our cheap power plant, drill oil and gas in the North Sea. That's how you get growth. Not just saying, oh, well, we'll do whatever the EU is doing and hopefully that will work. That's they're reopening the battles of the past.
Grateful for your time, Kemi Badenoch, leader of the Conservative Party, joining us here on LBC, listening to Nick Fry at breakfast a little late. Let's get those. Thanks again, Mrs. Badenoch. LBC News headline update at 8:49 from Dominic Ellis.
The US Navy is preparing to impose its blockade of Iranian ports following the collapse of peace talks on Saturday. It's reported Sir Keir Starmer is planning a law which will mean the UK government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. And deep-fried food is set to be banned from the school canteen in England as part of efforts to tackle obesity. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, some showers developing in the north by the afternoon, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M25, anti-clockwise, from junction 14 at Heathrow to 12 at the M3 because a car broke down earlier. Also busy on the M4 westbound from junction 5 at Langley to 6 at Slough. A car broke down here as well. And then the M4 eastbound is slow at the elevated section, and then it's slow all the way to the Hammersmith flyover after a car broke down earlier. It is hardly moving at all on that stretch, not being helped by the closure of the A40. And as traffic diverts, obviously that's adding to the queue. In Stratford, Great Eastern Road remains closed northbound at the High Street, and in Whitechapel, Dock Street remains closed, and that's following an accident. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Metropolitan line.
This is LBC.
Co-op members now get prices matched to Aldi. Hold on, no way. Okay then, so co-op members now get everyday essentials price matched to Aldi. Sign up and start saving. Co-op, owned by you, right by you. I wasn't expecting that.
Co-op member prices matched versus comparable selected products at Aldi GB. Co-op membership required. Co-op group food stores only. See co-op.co.uk/Aldi price match.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
High-pressure sales tactics, huge site fee increases, and a loss of value have left many holiday park homeowners feeling misled, angry, and trapped. The Holiday Park Advice Centre can help claim back any money you're owed. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Hello, Holiday Park Advice Centre.
That's ADVICE to 78900.
The all-new, all-electric Toyota CHR Plus.
Sleek, stylish and quietly reliable. Available with 0% APR representative with £1,500 deposit contribution and save £1,500 with the electric car grant. Get that Toyota electric feeling. Visit your nearest Toyota centre. Price from £34,495. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website. T's and C's apply.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket.
Geographical and other restrictions. Min spend £60 and charges apply. Discount available on food. New customers only. Max saving £20. Terms at Ocado.com.
Fancy a trip to France without the fancy price tag? Go all Irish.
With great low prices, travel from Dover to Calais with Irish ferries and you'll have France at your feet in 90 minutes. Can-can. Less. More money, less money. You get the picture. Get a warm Irish welcome on board and a cool pint of the black stuff on us. Zero alcohol, of course, when you book direct at irishferries.com. Escargot on, then. Irish Ferries. See travel differently. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Wow, much to discuss. Now, Penny's in Knutsford, and she wanted to talk about Brexit, but I do apologise, Penny. I'm afraid both Rory Bremner and Kemi Badenoch got in the way, but it's all yours now. Necessary realignment is what we're hearing. How do you characterise these moves? Good morning, Penny.
Good morning. I was desperate to go on after Kemi, actually, hearing that. I hope she's still listening. So, basically, what the EU are doing is they're constantly reacting to what's going on with world trade. So, in the UK, we're seeing closing high streets. We're seeing less tax receipts from businesses because we're struggling to compete with China. So, for context, I'm a fashion retailer. I've got five small fashion shops, a small website. Yeah,
right. Are they in the north or across the whole of the country?
In Cheshire. So we're competing with the likes of kind of Shein, Temu, all those companies that are selling terrible quality product for, you know, tiny, tiny prices.
Yeah.
And what the EU's doing is they're creating, through their laws, a protectionist environment. So they're not doing it through just duty. What they're doing is introducing laws like the CSRD, so the Corporate Social Responsibility Laws, which mean that all products have to have a responsible person, all products have to be safe, etc., which is really important for the consumer, but also means that they're not being flooded with counterfeit goods, illegal knives, poor quality clothes, dangerous and flammable electrics.
Is that going on here in the UK?
No. So that's what the EU are doing and where we're falling behind. But what it also means is that we can't, because we're not in line with those laws, we can't sell into the UK. So people have probably heard on social media about small businesses and people that kind of hand make stuff that are no longer able to sell into the
EU.
I've
read about those, tabletop businesses, kitchen table businesses, effectively.
Exactly. But what the EU is really trying to do is trying to stop those Chinese businesses from flooding them with poor quality and illegal goods. And we're falling behind. And what that means is we become even more of a target to China. So if you're a Chinese business and you've got a pound to spend advertising, are you going to do it to the EU, where you're, as a Chinese business, legally responsible for collecting VAT and sending it to France, say? Or are you going to spend that pound advertising to the UK customer? So we just become more and more of a target for these Chinese businesses, and it is dragging our businesses down, sending us out of business and leaving Trumpy High Street.
When you heard that conversation with the professor of EU law, you're pleased with where Sakir is taking us, just to clarify your position?
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. I think where they're starting is with food safety, which is really important.
Yeah.
But we just need to realise that there's a lot of the good stuff going on, and we need to be inside that bubble rather than outside as a target of China.
Can I ask the name of your stores? You don't have to tell me. It's entirely up to you.
Yeah, it's the Edit Boutiques.
The Edit Boutique. What will it mean, lastly, for your stores?
At the moment, it'll mean absolutely nothing because we work in fashion and they work in food safety. But we have got to get on the right side of this and use some of the good work that the EU is doing.
Grateful for your time and thank you for hanging on the line. Good luck with the stores you run, and I'm delighted that's going to make it better for you and obviously the people you employ and the people to whom you supply. If we're talking business, though, let's come back to the impact of what? 3 o'clock this afternoon, apparently the US threatening that they will also blockade the Strait of Hormuz, which means precious little, if any, oil will get through. What does that mean for petrol prices? Back to our fuel tracker.
Nick Ferrari's Fuel Tracker on LBC.
Yes, we have changed the music. It's just felt that we might take a slightly different... Let's hope we're not doing it in another month's time. We'll have to change the music again. We are off to the northeast. Just to remind you, when we started this just over a month ago, we take away the 0.9s. A litre of unleaded 131, a litre of diesel 133. When we spoke with Mohammed the back end of last week, that had gone to 156 and 193, respectively. Mohammed in South Shields joins us now with the latest figures. Mohammed, you're on the radio. Morning, sport, what you got?
Hey, Nick. Take more money to the garage with your folks because it's 163 for your unleaded and 197 for your diesel, Nick.
Safe driving, Mohammed. Thank you. Who's going to be the first of our fuel trackers to hit that £2 barrier, Mohammed? Thank you for your time. Let's also hear from Mark in Plymouth. Now, Mark, obviously, I appreciate you can't just drive around all morning. And I was chatting with Rory Bremner and Kamie Badenoch. So Mark in Plymouth left us with this message. The price is down in the southwest.
Hi, the price for petrol today is 157.9 and diesel is at 190.9.
Thanks for that, Mark. Just to tell you, that's up from last week when we came in at 156 for Europe. So that's up a penny, and 190 is up 3p for South West. We'll go fuel tracking again, probably, maybe not later this week, but certainly next week, unless this is all resolved. Now to other matters. We'll hold off on the calls for a moment, because a very important report will come out today, the so-called Phase 1 report into what called as the Southport Inquiry or the Southport killings at that children's dance club back in July 2024. Chris Chambers, LBC's North West correspondent, joins me ahead of the publication. What might we expect, Chris? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. The purpose of this inquiry has been to examine the events leading up to the attack, in particular to look at the timeline of Axel Rudakabana's history, his interactions with various public bodies like the justice system, his education, social care, and also information sharing by local authorities. We did, of course, already know that he had been referred three times to the anti-terror programme Prevent, but he didn't meet the threshold, partly because he didn't express a clear ideology. Now, we started hearing 9 weeks of evidence back in July last year, and that included more than 100 witnesses, 67 who gave live evidence, and that included impact statements from the parents of Elsie Stancombe, BB King and Alistair Silva Aguirre. There were deeply powerful, heartbreaking statements about how they've suffered. We heard from survivors about the trauma they've experienced, from witnesses who tried to help on the day, and from the perpetrator's parents about their experiences of his behaviour. Now, ultimately, the aim has been to work out if there was the potential to have spotted his likelihood to carry out some kind of attack. Lawyers for the victims say the evidence heard at the inquiry has exposed systemic failings across multiple agencies. Sir Adrian Fulford will publish his findings at midday. It is the first phase of the inquiry. The second phase will look at the risk posed by young people who have a fixation or obsession with extreme violence and what risk that poses to public safety.
Chris Chambers reporting for LBC. There will, of course, be full coverage of that as and when that report is published, and exactly where there may have been some of those failings. Coming up after the news, we go back to what Kemi Badenoch was saying, a clampdown wrongly put in place by police forces on that 20-mile-hour speed limit.
The 20-mile-per-hour zones that are there are mostly around the environment. I don't think that's what people should be getting points on their licence for.
So would that be scrapped under the Conservatives? In other news, the MPs debate a petition on statutory menstrual leave. We'll spell out exactly what that might mean for you and how long that leave would be. And it was time last night for Stephen Sondheim and others to stand aside.
You've just made ma lady. Yes!
The sweet taste of success for Paddington the musical. We'll celebrate that. News is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the US Navy is preparing to impose its blockade of Iranian ports following the collapse of peace talks on Saturday. The Trump administration is trying to pressure Tehran, which has itself been blocking ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices have risen sharply because of the uncertainty again overnight. Ben Judder is a former government special advisor and has told Nick this morning the blockage will cause further escalations in tensions.
What Trump's trying to now do
is defang, through his own sort of coercive policies, their attempt to impose a blockade on the Straits of Hormuz. And he's trying to do that by calling their bluff, by saying that he'll put his own blockade in place that will stop any boat going past that's paid a toll to the Iranians and will dare the Iranians to start shooting again at his ships.
And in the last few minutes, Keir Starmer has confirmed the UK will not be involved in enforcing the US blockade of Iran. The Prime Minister is understood to be planning measures which mean the government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. It'll reportedly form part of a bill aiming to align the UK with new EU regulations in areas such as food standards. Ministers hope such a move would reduce paperwork and boost growth. But the Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, has told Nick such a move would be the worst of both worlds.
So we're not in the EU where we can have a say, and we are, but we're still taking the rules and we're not using our sovereignty. The EU, well, certainly as Trade Secretary, what I saw is that the EU wants to compete with the UK. It's not going to make rules that are going to make our lives easier. It's going to make rules that are make life easier for them. We have to do what's right for the British national interest.
Voters in Hungary have ended the 16-year rule of the nationalist leader Viktor Orban in a landslide election. Peter Madja and his pro-EU Tisza party are set to have a supermajority of seats in Parliament. The government will reportedly scrap plans to give security services an exemption from a law aimed at stopping public cover-ups. The Hillsborough law will introduce a legal obligation for public officials to tell the truth and cooperate with inquiries. Security bosses will no longer be able to block spies from giving evidence that could breach national security under the plans. And deep fried food will be banned from school menus in England as part of efforts to tackle childhood obesity. Sweet treats like ice cream puddings and cakes will also be limited to fight tooth decay. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 49 at 10,552. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers developing in the north by the afternoon. A high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Get 25% off coffee and pastries at Cafe Nero with Compensa Market. Take it away, Sergey.
I need a Nero. I'm holding out for a Nero to get a flat white. It's gotta be strong, and it's gotta taste good, and it's gonna be made just right. I need a Nero.
Only with the Compare the Market app, the simplest way to save.
When you take out a qualifying product, one membership a year, 25% off barista-made drinks and pastries, app only, two codes per day, exclusions and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after nine, Monday, April the 13th, coming up in this hour. Driving in the wrong direction with these speeding bans, or these speed bans at 20 miles an hour. That seems to be the view of Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch has spelled out to us in the last half hour or so. We'll get into that in more detail. In other news, the idea that there should be statutory menstrual leave. How would it work? Indeed, how long would the leave be for? How debilitating is it if you have endometriosis or a similar condition? Minister for Early Education and Equalities Olivia Bailey told me in the first hour of the show.
We've got some plans that we've been talking about in regard to this. I think it's really important that we do everything we can to support women in the workplace.
And accolades and marmalades alike for this superb show.
You've shown me things I've never.
That is The Explorer and the Bear from Paddington the Musical. Writer Tom Fletcher there on BBC Strictly Come Dancing. We'll celebrate success last night. Knockout at the awards.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Now, ahead of my conversation with Kemi Badenoch, I'm going to play you a little bit of that this morning. I saw a story in one of the newspapers about this driving ban. Question. Look, I know the speed limit is 20 miles an hour, and I think if you're driving outside a hospital or a care home or something, or school, certainly, that probably makes sense. But I don't know about you, but there are many roads in the part of London in which I live where we used to do 30 miles an hour, and to my certain knowledge, because I would have seen it every day I come to work. There were no fatalities. There were none of those yellow boards that go out. To my knowledge, there were no SIs either, serious injuries. It was just we would all go at 30 miles an hour. Now, of course, as in much of London, much of the country, I speak of the whole country now, I was driving around a little bit of the country on Friday, those 20 miles an hour are springing up, mile limits are springing up everywhere. But are they right? A psychiatrist has racked up 9 points on his driver's licence for driving at 22 miles an hour in London. The Daily Mail tells us about Dr. Gary Duffield. He faces being banned from the roads now. He's a 67-year-old consultant forensic psychiatrist. More than half of London's roads now have a 20-mile-an-hour limit as part of London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan's bid to reduce road casualty. TfL saying cars hitting pedestrians at 30 miles an hour are five times more likely to kill them at 20 miles an hour. Well, at this rate, why don't we bring it down to 10 miles an hour? You have a situation now where you are actually, and this has happened to me, I am overtaken by cyclists. So because I don't particularly want any tickets on, any points on my licence, I am overtaken by a cyclist in one of those electric bikes, probably delivering a pizza to someone. Now, how does that make sense? Now, in the previous hour of the show, I was speaking with the Conservative leader, Mrs. Badenoch, Kemi Badenoch. We spoke about a number of things, but she spoke at length about her views on police and policing following the so-called Clapham link-up, or as I knew it, steaming, where the group of young, mostly young males descended on those shops. But then Mrs. Badenoch had in her sights those fines issued in those 20-mile-an-hour zones.
These fines should be about safety, not about making money. And also the...
But it is a safety issue, isn't it? If you're meant to do 20 and you're doing 22...
Well, I think they're more environmental issues. I think the 20-mile-per-hour zones that are there are mostly around the environment. I don't think that's what people should be getting points on their licence for. They should be getting points on their licence for driving dangerously. 22 miles per hour is very different from driving dangerously. I think let's bring some balance into it. I heard about a taxi driver. An MP was telling me about his constituent. A taxi driver drove 21 miles per hour three times in a 20 zone. He's now lost his license. That's his livelihood. I'm not sure that that's fair. What I want is for the police to be doing the things that everybody else can't do. Catching burglars, catching shoplifters, catching those people who are hurting us, who are running around stabbing people. And children need to need to be dealt with so that they don't think that looting is a way for them to spend their Easter holidays, because it isn't.
Your point is well made. There's a story in one of the papers today. A consultant forensic psychiatrist has 9 points on his license. He's done 22 and 23 in a 20-mile zone, and now a consultant psychiatrist could lose their job as a result of this, I would say, zealous policing.
So I just think that the law-abiding people in this country are having to deal with more and more. It's more taxes, more rules, more regulations. They can't do this, they can't do that. And yet, the people who are doing the really bad stuff are getting away with it. And the Conservative Party is the party of law and order. I'm not here to say that we were perfect before. You won't let me get away with that,
no,
Nick. We absolutely were not. We made mistakes.
Far from
but
it.
We're under new management now, and I'm saying this is the sort of person I am. I'm a law and order Conservative. I want us to catch crooks, put them behind bars, and if they're really bad, keep them there as long as we possibly can.
So it seems to be a rather relaxation on those 20-mile zones under the Conservatives. Let's turn to Richard Owen, who is a road safety expert, chief executive of Argilisys Road Consultancy. Argilisys, what is that in a sentence, a snappy sentence if I could ask her, Mr. Owen, what is that on earth to do? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. We do research on road safety, and we also carry out a lot of policy work for people in the UK and overseas to help reduce road death.
How necessary is the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit in much of London and many of the streets on which it's been imposed, in your view and your colleagues' view?
I think where we have people that are moving around the road network on bicycles and on foot, we want to make sure that they're protected. So we know that if you're hit, if you're struck at more than 20 miles per hour, your chances of being seriously injured are much higher than if you're hit at a lower speed. So it's simple physics, really. Wherever you have people mixing on the road network, then you want to make sure that you have these lower limits. So you can either have lower limits, or you can have higher limits and make sure that you've put in place appropriate safety measures to make sure that you're separating out pedestrians and cyclists from motor vehicles.
Do you recognise the urban myth that in the belief in certain areas this is just a way to raise money?
Oh, I see it. I hear it. You know, we're involved in a lot of consultations with members of the public and other people who are interested in road safety. When I started off in this role 20-odd years ago, it was absolutely all about the safety. There are very strict rules on where speed cameras could be put in place. It was all managed by the government. Now it's up to local discretion. It's by individual police forces to decide when and where they carry out enforcement. In my own area of Northamptonshire, for example, you know, they are quite happy to have speed camera vans almost anywhere, any time as an approach.
But to follow your argument to its logistic conclusion, we should probably all be driving at 15 miles an hour then. And it is a fact that the borough of London in which I live, I am overtaken by these sort of electric bicycles that will have a fair amount of velocity, I would imagine, and they are going faster than me. So a pedestrian is going to come off pretty badly if they're struck by that. Surely that is the reality as well on the roads.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that the bicycles you're talking about, they're probably illegal, modified scooters that the police definitely need to be tackling within cities, because, you know, they weigh an enormous amount. If you're a pedestrian hit by one of those, that would be a terrible outcome. No, 15 miles per hour, we don't need to go that low. All of the evidence from the literature says that 20 miles per hour is a perfectly acceptable speed limit. And when it's been implemented in Wales, we've seen a 22% reduction in those people killed and seriously injured on the roads, which I think most people would welcome.
But the blanket in Wales was scrapped, of course, a year after it was put in place, for the whole of Wales, not all of Wales, wasn't it? Because of local unrest.
Yeah, it's not 100% of urban roads, it's around 90%, so they've kept, you know, those roads where you want traffic to be moving freely at 30 miles per hour, they've put in place exemptions for those roads. But for the majority of the rest of the roads, places where people live, where we want kids playing in the streets, hopefully, safely, those are the roads that have remained at 20 miles per hour.
Grateful for your time, Richard Owen, as a road safety expert, chief executive of Agilisys Road Consultancy. Coming to you, Ree, you're going to be the first caller. This is a great idea from Ben in Bristol. Why don't you get 1 point for breaking 20, like the points you've mentioned? If they clock up 12 points, then maybe they should get banned. That's not a bad idea, is it? Because the fact that you might be doing 65 and a 50, well, no, you might be worse than that, actually. You might get more than 3 points. But what about the idea, if you're doing 22 and a 20, was it 22 this moment? Yes, a 22 and a 20, surely that should be worth just 1 point. That is a very good idea from Ben in Bristol, rather than this sort of blanket imposition. Calls. Ree in Barnet. Ree, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right, thank you. What do you make of what Mrs. Badenoch just told us?
Well, I think the 20 mile per hour zone is, honestly, that is just, it is ridiculous. I can walk faster than that.
Why? Doubt you could walk faster than 20 miles an hour.
Okay, well, a slight jog.
All right. I hear the point you're making. It does seem desperately slow at times.
It is, yeah, it's painful, actually, more than desperately slow. So, my husband's a chauffeur, he's an operator, and unfortunately, he was given 3 points recently just for doing 24 miles in a 20 mile hour zone. So it's not only 3 points, it's £100 fine. And I just think it's ridiculous because, you know, you just follow all the guidance.
How many points has your husband got on his licence, do you know?
Three.
Okay. So that's, I mean, it's an issue, but it's not like he's on nine and in real problems.
No, but if it's this one, with this, it'll be six. And then obviously the next one, then what to do? We don't know. We might challenge it. We'll see. I just think it's unfair.
What about Ben in... I don't think they're going to scrap 20-mile-an-hour speed limits because they make the money. What about Ben in Bristol's idea that on an offence such as 22 and a 20, you're only going to get 1 point? It's not like you're doing 50 on a 40 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit more lenient. It's a better idea. But I just think to come in full force with 3 points...
I agree.
But just doing a few extra, and you know, you don't know the full reason. It's, I mean, there's no, it's not outrageously driving or anything like that.
Totally agree with you. Safe driving to your husband. Thank you for that. More calls coming in on this. And then after the news, we're going to be talking about this debate for statutory menstrual leave. Michelle Dewar started a petition calling for paid leave. Told us back in September.
People can be seen as unreliable if they're off a lot. I've spoke to a lot of women that are scared to even declare that they have endometriosis in case they don't get the job.
More on that after this, the 9:15 LBC News headlines, read by Dominic Ellis.
Keir Starmer has insisted the UK won't take part in a planned US blockade of the Strait of Hormuz due to take effect from this afternoon. The findings of the first part of the public inquiry into the killings of three schoolgirls in Southport will be issued this lunchtime. And the Prime Minister is understood to be planning measures which mean the government can adopt EU single market rules without a vote in Parliament. LBC weather dry and sunny for most, some showers developing in the north later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M4 westbound at the elevated section because a van's broken down. There are queues back to the Chiswick roundabout and along the A4. And it's also very busy eastbound on the elevated section onto the A4 because of the closure of the A40, which is closed both ways between the Marylebone flyover and the Northern roundabout. Quite busy on the M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 1B at Dartford. A lorry's broken down. In Stratford, Great Eastern Road remains closed northbound from the High Street to Stratford bus station, and that's because of the ongoing investigation. Delays of about half an hour on the A2 westbound up to the Kidbrook interchange following an accident that happened earlier.
LBC.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do is...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's
my weight loss.
Weight loss?
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Dreaming of a new kitchen? Getting started couldn't be easier. At Wix, you can begin planning your new kitchen with our design consultants. Simply arrange a free home measure or an in-store design consultation. Book your free kitchen design appointment and turn all your ideas into reality at Wix.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep on going under.
Get that Toyota electric feeling with the all-new, all-electric Toyota Urban Cruiser. Available with 0% APR representative and £1,500 deposit contribution. And save £1,500 with the Toyota Electrified Saving. Visit your nearest Toyota centre. Price from £299.95. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. That's why right now you can get a £250 gift card when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. Start a new policy before the 28th of May. New customers over 50 only. Terms and conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
A lot of you want to talk about what Kemi Badenoch was talking about, that 20-mile-an-hour limit. Scott's in West Hampstead. Scott, I've got a note here that you've had some points on your licence in the past. How many, sir? Good morning.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
I had 14. That was 20 years ago. 14 points.
Oh, God, we've got Lewis Hamilton on the line here.
I faced losing my licence. I was then working as a school psychologist in Bedfordshire.
Oh, yes.
Covering many miles, and sometimes I did exceed the speeds on the, on trunk roads, motorways even sometimes. And
carriageways, yes.
Getting from school to school. Now, I had to go to the Magistrates Court in Bedford, and the Magistrates, they were very kind that day because they said, this guy's a school psychologist. If he loses his license, that'll be one psychologist less working in the schools. We can't have that. And I was very lucky. I was very thankful to them. But having said that, I mean, I'm retired now, and I live in West Hampstead. I live opposite a school, a primary school, and the big e-cars, many cars, not just e-cars, go flying up and down this road, and I want to see 20-mile-an-hour signs because I'm really scared something's going to happen to one of the kids in this school. They've just gone back today, and, so I did wrong way back 20 30 years ago. I regret what I did. I was thankful to the magistrates, but I do think that the 20 mile an hour zone should stay in place. Because,
but what about, as Ben suggested, maybe just if you're doing 22 in a 20, that's worth one, not 3 points. I think that has a lot of merit, actually.
I guess, well, you know, you're probably right. You know, to give a bit of leeway is not a bad thing. A bit of flexibility.
Scott, thank you. Here's flexibility from Andrew. Hit someone in a 30 doing 33, he put slap in the wrist. 36 and hurt them badly, too. Kill them at 39, 3 points. Not sure whether you're having sport with us there, but the idea that necessarily it was graded, I think, Andrew, is what we're getting. I think you might have slightly misinterpreted it. But 22 in a 20, and you risk losing your job, as Scott would have done as a school psychiatrist, I think there is a conversation about it. Let's take one more call on this for now. Jane in Wandsworth. Jane, your story. Good morning.
Oh, hello. Good morning, Nick.
Yes, Jane.
Hi. Yeah, we're talking about the speed these electric bikes go.
Ah, yes. I'm overtaken by them now in my part of London. Yeah.
Yeah, I was turning up. Well, some of them. I just don't know what speed they're going. They're going so fast, you don't even see them. But I was actually taken out by one on crossing on Central Reservation. I looked everywhere. You know, I'm quite old, actually, very old. Right. And
well,
I've never been over in my life.
What do you call very old?
Well, nearly 70.
Blimey.
that's
some
old,
people get married in their late 60s, you know. I know one. Well, on you go. keeping me alive at the minute, anyway. Sorry, do go on, Jane.
Still very, very old. Yes, and I spent all my life, you know, top of the Green Cross Code, doing everything correctly, never been run over, standing on the centre reservation, looked every which way as per normal. And I literally thought I'd been hit by a truck. I'd been taken out by an electric bike. I was thrown into the air. I had an open fracture of my nose. Massive head contusion. It's called, unconscious for nearly half an hour. Mm-hmm. Over 30 stitches in my face. My ear nearly ripped off.
Woman, my God.
Unfortunately, no accountability. Because, you know, it was an electric bike.
Did he stop? Did the cyclist stop?
Sorry? Apparently he did. But of course, but again, I'm a car driver.
Yep.
I've had a ticket for, these zones where they go 30, 40, 40, 30. 30
yes, minutes. I do know those. Yes, very much, yeah.
Well, I had a lapse of concentration for a minute and got done for 33 in a 30 when it had gone from 30 to 40 to 40, 30. Have to...
Oh, dear. Well, are you recovered from the incident with the bicycle, the electric bicycle?
No, not really. No, I don't think I'll ever really recover. I've still got a massive lump on my head.
How long ago was this, Jane?
It was on Remembrance Day, 11th, 2023.
You poor woman. I don't think you should still have that bump on your head, my love. You maybe want to go and have a doctor take a look at you. There's no way a bump should still be 2.5 years on your head, or indeed anywhere else. Jane, look after yourself. Thank you. More calls on this to come, but to other matters. Now, you know this idea, which is a very sound one, actually, that if you come up with an idea and you put it up for signatures, for a petition, you get over 100,000 signatures, it gets a debate. Well, here's one. It was the idea of statutory menstrual leave for people with endometriosis and other conditions. Let's get background on this now from Emma Cox, who's CEO of Endometriosis UK. And it occurs, if you don't mind, we should start at the very beginning. For those who are not familiar with the condition, what is endometriosis and how debilitating can it be? Emma, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. So endometriosis is where cells similar to those lining the womb grow elsewhere in the body, and it causes scarring, inflammation, a lot of pain, and it can grow in a whole range of parts, mainly in the pelvic cavity, but elsewhere. And it's an unusual disease because the impact varies person to person depending on where the disease grows. So some people have very mild or no symptoms, yet for others it can be completely debilitating. And a lot of people have monthly cycles, so they might have pain for a couple of days a month, but be fine the rest of the time.
Sorry, pardon my ignorance. So you can have... Sorry to talk so candidly here. You can have a month with a fairly easy period, or you can have a month with a desperately difficult period for a woman. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's the hormones in your body, and because they change through the month, sometimes people might have very severe debilitating pain for 2 or 3 days of the month. Sometimes they have it permanently. So just to give you an example, I know someone who, this is very unusual, but they have it on their, one of their nerves that goes down their legs, and they can't walk for 3 days a month.
Good Lord.
But they're fine the rest of the time.
What would you say, and I'm sure you and your colleagues at Endometriosis UK are working very hard on this, about the level of knowledge as regards this condition, Emma?
Poor. Unfortunately, both in the medical profession and with the public, it's one of those conditions we've just not talked about because it's seen as linked to periods, although obviously it affects the whole body. It's not just about periods. Yeah. And it affects people very seriously. So it's a bit like, we do know what migraines are. We know what epilepsy is. We wouldn't just call it a bit of a sore head. And I think society hasn't dealt with it. Also, we don't teach medics about it properly, so they don't know about it.
Can I ask you to listen very carefully? I was discussing other issues, but this came up earlier in the morning with the Minister for Early Education and Equalities, an MP called Olivia Bailey. And you'll be closer. And I queried whether she's actually got this absolutely right. So just listen, if you would, carefully to a little bit of what she told me about your about the idea of this petition.
I mean, we've got some plans that we've been talking about in regard to this. I think it's really important that we do everything we can to support women in the workplace, and you know. Menopause is a really crucial issue, and it's important that we support women who are going through it.
So I was talking to the Minister about endometriosis, and she took me into the menopause. I'm sure she didn't do it, but that is a misstep, isn't it?
I believe that, well, menopause is important. Let's not...
I appreciate that, Emma, yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is, yeah, we need to get better knowledge, because people automatically think, oh, they're talking about the menopause. They're not talking about the menopause. It's a totally... But tell me if I'm wrong, because you're far closer to this than I am, obviously.
You are right. You are right,
For
Nick.
Once in my life.
many times, but it's menstrual health. And I think one of the issues is that we've just not dealt with it. And what would be good is that we understand that menstrual health, you can get menstrual health conditions like endometriosis, adenomyosis, fibroids that can cause some people real problems. The challenge I think society and employers have with dealing with it is they don't affect everybody the same. So some people, as I say, can have very mild symptoms, where others can have severe symptoms, and also because it's they're invisible conditions, and because they're linked to periods, also symptoms include painful bowel movements and things. A lot of people just won't talk about them.
What is it this petition is seeking to bring about?
So this petition is seeking to bring about, excuse me, menstrual leave for those with endometriosis and adenomyosis. And what I'd say from our perspective at Endometriosis UK is it would help some people, but it's not the full answer. There's people who might be fine, but they'll actually maybe need 2 or 3 weeks off for surgery. I was speaking to someone just at the weekend who lost her job because she needed 3 weeks off for surgery and recovery.
And well, that must be illegal. You can't say
something. That is illegal.
Yeah, good.
But it does happen.
Mm. How much leave would a woman be entitled to?
Well, I think it depends on what happens, but I think what the petition asks for is 3 days menstrual leave a month, specifically for those with endometriosis, adenomyosis and defined conditions. It's not for everybody. And I think there's some real benefits for some people in that. I do think there's a risk of having a blanket thing called menstrual leave being seen negatively by employers.
Sorry, what was the other one?
Adenomyosis. So
do you mind me asking what that is?
So endometriosis is cells outside the womb that grow in the wrong place, and adenomyosis is cells where those cells have grown in the wrong place in the muscle of the womb itself. So you can imagine the pain of having some cells in the wrong place bleeding inside a muscle.
Lastly, we've done a bit of research. It's fair to say that the United Kingdom is a little bit behind here, because there are some sort of measures, Portugal, Spain, Taiwan, Indonesia, South Korea. We're not performing particularly well globally here, are we?
I think we're not, and we're saying that the average length of time to get a diagnosis at the moment is over 9 years, and so there's an awful lot of people, there's a lot of things we could do better, and I think we've come to this point because we haven't dealt with things properly. There's a lot the government can do and are doing around improving conditions at work, asking for flexible working rights, etc. And I think we need to get the government and society to really understand mental health and to treat mental health in a workplace as you would any other long-term condition.
Emma, just pronounce, I can do endometriosis. What's that second one?
Adenomyosis.
Adenomyosis. Thank you, Emma Cox, CEO of Endometriosis UK. If you have either of those conditions, or indeed you suffer from a heavy cycle, let's put it politely, the idea of leave, we do seem to be drastically behind other parts of the world. Just how debilitating that can be. We'll take your calls on that. And we've been holding off, but after the news, we will celebrate. Down at the Olivier's yesterday.
Don't cry for me.
Well, we don't need to cry for you, Rachel, Rachel Zegler, because quite rightly you were the best actress in a musical. But I'm afraid Evita, Stephen Sondheim, they all got beaten out by...
You've just made
the cast of Paddington the Musical performing last night. And if you don't know about the show, we'll tell you a lot more, if you can bear it. After this. 9.31, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer's confirmed the UK will not be involved in enforcing the US blockade of Iranian ports starting this afternoon. President Trump announced the move after peace talks with Tehran collapsed on Saturday. The findings of the first part of the public inquiry into the murder of three girls in Southport will be issued this lunchtime. Axel Rudikubana is serving a minimum jail term of 52 years for the knife attack at a dance class in 2024. And food that are high in sugar or deep fried could be banned from school menus across England. All schools will have to publish their menus online as part of plans being put to a 9-week consultation. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers developing in the north by the late afternoon. A high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC.
Your life's already digital. From banking and shopping to streaming and learning. So why does sorting government stuff still feel like such hard work? The government is introducing a new digital ID to make access to services quicker and more secure for everyone. But we need to hear from you. Your voice matters. Search digital ID consultation to have your say. Digital ID, making public services work for you.
It's happened again. All you said was barrel leg. Now she's looking at you like Nadine isn't your real name. Look at you go, as you explain volume cocoon is a key shape for the season. 100% cotton, you say? No way, she says. And then, oh, a little extension of the trouser leg. Check out that pleat. Then you break the news.
They're from Primark. Only £16.
Be a good friend.
You can borrow them.
Hopefully she'll forget that. Shockingly chic for £16. That's so Primark. Available in-store and on click and collect.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power.
Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week. For full details, eligibility and T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Okay. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Question. When does marmalade meet the accolade? Well, that would have been last night at the Olivier's.
You've just made marmalade. Yes!
Me pretty little ducklings, that's what I want to see. 'Cause no one loves a pretty little duckling more than me.
Well, I've been raving about this show for months, and I'm delighted that my LBC colleague, showbiz editor Charlie Girling, is equally as enthusiastic. And if I've got this right, Charlie, and we'll ask you about the magic. Obviously, we know that Paddington did brilliantly last night at Livers, but I think the two artists we heard performing there, Tom Eden as best actor and Victoria Hamilton Barrett, they both got Olivier's as well, if I've got that right, those two singers.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Right, what's the magic of Paddington?
Oh, do you know what? I think it perfectly encapsulates Britain, the best of Britain, and also, I think, what all the tourists that come over here want to see as well. So you've not only got everyone in the UK who loves theatre and everyone in the UK probably with children who think, yep, I'm going to go and pay for the tickets to see this. You've also got everyone who comes over from America, from Canada, from all over the world who think, right, I'm in the West End. I want to see something quintessentially British. What is more quintessentially British than that marmalade-loving little bear?
From Peru, of course.
Of course.
Right, let's talk a little bit about... This didn't come a showbiz success overnight. It's been a long time in the making, hasn't it?
It has, and to be honest, Nick, I remember reading a lot of sort of typically tall poppy syndrome articles saying, this is never going to work, it's going to be awful, how are they going to do it? It's an animatronic bear, it's going to look ridiculous. I mean, they've done such a fantastic job, I have to say, and you've seen it as well. And it is one of the most spectacular things I've seen. It is beautifully done. The music, obviously, Tom Fletcher.
Now, tell us a little about Tom. This is someone you know and you've interviewed.
I've interviewed him before. I've interviewed him about this, actually. So he, formerly of McFly, obviously, which is very much my era as someone that listened to that kind of music. But he is, he's had this incredible second act. He, you know, he's a very musical man himself. He's married to Giovanna Fletcher, who is herself very musical, apparently. He was telling me that there's a version of the soundtrack that exists with all of his family singing on it. He got them to sort of do the original when he was trying to work through and workshop what it was going to sound like. And it is just a brilliant, brilliant piece of sort of pop music, a pop album, really. So I remember the first time I went to see this in sort of previews and I heard the couple of those toe tappers and you think, yeah, this is going to do really well.
Did they know they had a hit on their hands, or were there a degree of nervousness when it launched?
I think there was a big degree of nervousness, Nick. And as I said to you, a couple of the articles I saw, there is always a temptation for people to go, oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. Whether that's sort of tempting fate the other way, I don't know. But there was a few people in the West End, I think, who thought this was going to be an absolute car crash, and they've all got egg on their faces, because at the moment, I think it's booking up until next year.
That's fair.
At least.
I think they picked up, was it seven or something? Which seven. I just celebrate. But I'm delighted that one didn't go their way, and it went to of Rachel Zegler from it, because I was fortunate enough to see that. And I think you did you interview Rachel?
I interviewed her. She came off stage, and I remember it was last summer. For people that didn't see it, I feel like everybody was at least aware of this, because it was that amazing Jamie Lloyd production. Every night she would come out onto the balcony outside the Palladium, around the corner from our studios, you know, just by Argyle Street in Oxford Circus, and she would sing on the balcony. She performed Don't Cry For Me Argentina, obviously the quintessential Eva Perón character. And everyone was lining up to watch it. People knew it got round on social media. She'd be doing this every night around 9 o'clock. She'd be standing there performing. And people would line the streets. They'd stand on bins. They'd stand in all sorts of unsavoury places in that area just to watch her sing every night.
Lastly, I want your opinion on this. Dominic Maxwell, the critic, writes in Today's Times, for once the judges have got it spot on. What a stitch-up is the customary after an awards ceremony, as we carping critics say, what a bunch of berks the voters are, but not on this occasion. Charlie, I think about... It's the crowd pleasers what won it, isn't it? 100%,
and that's what we want to. We want to celebrate the kind of things people go and see. There's been, you know, it's had a torrid time, the West End, in the last few years. As we know, COVID was, well, I know it was exactly 5 years ago today they lifted the COVID restrictions. I know that because it's my son's fifth birthday, 13th of April 2021. Right. So it's not been that long since we were all banned from the theatres, and I, for one, Nick, and I know you as a theatre lover yourself,
I love
you are also thrilled to see.
You know, the missus would go every night if she could.
I know she would. I would see you at press nights, two rows in front of me.
What do you get a five-year-old for his birthday?
Lots of dinosaurs.
Well done. Charlie Girling, LBC Showbiz Editor, reporting. Thank you for that, Charlie. If you've seen the show, let's celebrate the great success. I'm not going to pretend it is an expensive ticket, but I promise you, you will... Well, I would be staggered. You would need a heart of stone not to be moved by Paddington, the musical. Charlie Girling, thanks for that. Let's come back to what we were hearing almost exactly an hour or so ago from the leader of the Conservative Party, Kemi Badenoch, and she had in her sight, she was driving towards this driving ban. She doesn't see necessity of the 22-mile-an-hour zone, speed zones in 20-hour areas. Linda Zimbalo. Linda, what's happened to you? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. And first, let me say, I think you've got the most dynamic breakfast show on UK radio. Oh, I was a long-term listener of Radio 4. I've completely got behind you.
Cut this as an advert. For God's sake, this is fantastic. Keep going, Linda.
So, when I moved to Marlow, there was a speed sign just on the edge of the town, slightly hidden by a tree. And I didn't know it was there. And I drove past the sign several times. I got 21 points.
21 points, Linda?
Because they sent the parking tickets to the old address.
Speeding tickets, I think you mean.
Speeding tickets to the old address.
Right.
So by the time they all arrived in one watch, I could see I had 21 points. So I called Thames Valley Police. Please, you know I can be very persistent.
I think you're the Linda I know. I recognise the voice. We worked together once, I think, yes.
We did indeed.
Yes. You frightened me then all those years ago. You frighten me even more now. Go on.
No, you frightened me. You were my news editor at Sky News, I can tell you that. So I got the police to take away some of the points, and it took it down to 9 points. 3 years later, when I was running out of petrol, I came off the motorway in an area I didn't know. I crossed a speed camera in a small town, and 4 minutes later, I crossed back again.
Oh, no.
I got another 6 points, and it took me over the 12. The police wouldn't listen to any reason at all. They said they had an automated system. I just had to cope with it. Oh. They sent me to magistrates' court. I was told I'd have to spend £4,000 on a barrister, so I decided to defend myself. I got some useful information from a local solicitor in the town.
Right.
When I finally got in front of the magistrate, she was so bemused at what I was doing there. She took away... I went into court with 12 points. I left with 3 points, which I'm now reliably informed are spent, but it cost me £600 to do it.
When are you moving into representation, into being on the legal field and acting for folk with driving offences, Linda?
I would love to do it, because I think this whole situation is nonsensical, particularly the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. I've got a friend who got a ticket in Teddington at 22 miles an hour, and it just has to stop.
It's ridiculous.
It's an utterly ridiculous waste of time. Meanwhile, you know, I live in the town centre in Marlow, in a road which is very popular. I sometimes look out of my window on a Saturday night, and I can see people racing up and down the street, 40 to 50 miles an hour. There are no speed cameras, and they never get caught.
And you know that road in Richmond's gone from 40 to 30 over the river. You've got to watch that one as well.
Oh, yeah. And don't get me on the subject of bus lanes, because I'm even more angry about the bus lanes.
I want to get you on one last thing.
What?
And this will entertain or inform. I was your news editor at Sky News. What was it like working as a reporter to Nick Ferrari?
It was quite challenging, actually.
We'll leave that there. Linda, safe driving. Lots of love to the family. Great to hear your voice again. Look after yourself. Hope to catch up with you somewhere soon. Let's not make it a funeral. It's funerals I go to now, where I catch up with all my old mates. Another one goes. Product of our age, I suppose. Best to get married. Keeps you young. Thanks, Linda. Safe driving. Love to the family. Billy's in Wandsworth. What's your story, Billy? You're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's a pleasure to hear from you, mate. I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener.
How great to have you on. Now, are you a safe driver? Are you a good driver?
I would say I am, you know. I've been driving... I was driving 10 years before I first got my points, and I'd never received a single point or had any letters come through the door from the police or any councils relating my driving. So, as far as I'm concerned, I thought my driving was quite good.
Right.
I do a lot of driving as well, so the majority of my work is driving-related.
Right. What sort of work are you in?
Yeah, I'm a commercial window glazer, so I'm always up 4 a.m. doing early work.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. So basically, I'll make it short. I received 3 points in a 20. I was doing 22 mph.
Yeah.
And then, as you're aware, when you first do that offence, you have to do a course online to prevent
absolutely.
You getting the points.
Yep.
So I've done that, and you also have to pay the £100. So it's £100 and the course, and that's it. So I paid the fine, I've done the course, and then about 2 months later, I noticed that £100 had gone back into my account.
Oh.
And then I had a letter come through the door saying the payment hasn't been taken, and it's been rejected. So I had to pay £400. Because I apparently didn't get the money in time. Yeah, so basically the time had expired and I got the money in too late, which I was unaware of. So I paid the £400 and within a short period of time of a couple of months, I had three more speeding fines come through and they was all about 5 a.m. Yeah, so I couldn't say nothing basically, so I just had to take the points. So I'm sitting on 9 points now.
How much does this cost you?
It was, pretty sure off the top of my head, I think it was 150 a chuck. So we're probably talking about £600-800
and
I've
what
paid
were you
in.
Doing? What were the speeds you recorded at
the highest I'd done was a 24 in a 20, and the lowest I'd done was 22. So all four of them was relating between 22 and 24 mph.
When you heard Kemi Badenoch say on this show an hour or so ago, this is not what the policing should be about, and almost suggesting we need a review of this 20-mile-an-hour zone in some areas.
It's really frustrating. Yeah, of course she's right. I mean, like you said earlier, one of your listeners, they said if she was doing 35 in a 20 in past the school,
absolutely.
Then fair enough.
Yeah, and but if you hit someone, you're going to jail. I absolutely agree with that.
And it was the highway. So if you're coming in towards Tower Bridge and you're on the highway, it's a dual carriageway, and it used to be a 40, and they dropped it down to a 30, and then they dropped it down to the 20, and it was that camera that caught me twice. I thought I would have learned a lesson, but...
Listen, good luck. I'll be thinking of you. You get up even earlier than I do. Billy, thanks for calling. First time of first class. Well done, matey. Look forward to hearing from you again. Be like Billy. Get it off your chest. Get it on the radio. Give me a call on that number, 08. Don't know what the next number is. Not going to say it after all these years. Coming up after news, we go back to the conversation we're having over some form of leave for those with endometriosis and similar conditions. We'll take a call on that. 9:45, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer's confirmed the UK won't be involved in enforcing the US blockade of Iranian ports due to take effect from this afternoon. There's been celebrations on the streets of Hungary following a landslide election that swept aside Vladimir Putin's ally Viktor Orban. And foods that are high in sugar or deep fried could be banned from school menus in England as part of government plans to tackle childhood obesity. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most, some showers developing in the north. Later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. One lane's closed on the M25 clockwise just before junction 28 at the A12. A lorry's broken down. Very slow on the M4 in both directions at the elevated section. Westbound because the van's broken down, and eastbound as traffic's diverting away from the A40 closure, which remains closed both ways between the Marylebone Flyover and the Northern Roundabout. Long delays continue on the A2 westbound up to the Kidbrook interchange from Bexley Heath. There are delays of about half an hour, and in Stratford, Great Eastern Road remains closed northbound because of an ongoing investigation. Delays of about 20 minutes on southern services via Balham. That's because of an ongoing investigation. Also, southeastern trains are delayed to and from Charing Cross.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
If you're Donald Trump and you have failed to convince an enemy to unblock a strait, the best thing you can do is announce that you're, it says here, blocking the strait.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Have you spotted anything?
Only seagulls. Are you sure this beach is a nature reserve?
Well, the sign said nature this way. Hey, what's that big bird over there? Flapping its wings, unusual markings.
You sure that sign didn't say nature is?
Oi, this is a nudist beach.
Ooh. Now, where are my binoculars?
Cheryl?
Struggling to read in the sun? Get 2-for-1 at Specsavers and make prescription sunglasses your second pair. From £70 with standard single vision lenses to the same prescription. Terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling this Friday. 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to dance. 10 more robots, 10 more limbos, 10 more salsas. 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires this Friday. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules apply, 18 plus.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, you'll get a £250 gift card when you take out Saga Health Insurance. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. Start a new policy before the 28th of May. New customers over 50 only. Terms and conditions apply.
Combine your pensions with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
The all-new, all-electric Toyota CHR Plus. Sleek, stylish and quietly reliable. Available with 0% APR representative with £1,500 deposit contribution and save £1,500 with the electric car grant. Get that Toyota electric feeling. Visit your nearest Toyota centre. Price from $34,495. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website T's and C's apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head to BitVictor.
Why's that?
They've got more features than you can shake a stick at. They've got cash out. They've got in-play football, racing, tennis, all your favourite sports. They've got the best odds guaranteed on racing. And then there's the bet builder. And, of course, you've got the lucky dip. Blimey, dip! I've got to go, fella. It's Nacho Night at Casa Rednap. And holy moly, I forgot the guacamole. Ay, caramba.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come to this conversation about endometriosis. Now, having someone very close in my life who's had some issues in that, shall we say, geographical area, my eye was drawn to this particular petition. And then when we started looking at what other countries allow, Portugal, you get some time off, Spain, up to 5 days paid leave for women who suffer issues such as this, Vietnam, a 30-minute paid break each day during menstruation, even South Korea allowing 1 day off per leave per month. Surely we could and should be doing more. Alex is in Kenilworth, which I assume, is that near Luton, Alex? Kenilworth, sort of Kenilworth Road, I'm have a guess. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's Warwickshire.
Warwickshire. I'm totally wrong. I do apologise. I thought it was Kenilworth Road. Okay. What can you tell me, Alex? Have you got one of the conditions, both of these conditions?
Both of them, endometriosis and adenomyosis. I was diagnosed when I was 19 with stage four.
My goodness. Look, there's no measure for this, but how debilitating can either or both these be at certain times of the month?
It is life-changing. Like Emma was saying from Endometriosis UK, it is a really complex condition. So when I first started having symptoms, it was just my periods that were horrific. You know, that week I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to school, university. But then and this is purely anecdotally, but a lot of the women that I speak to, it seems that as the condition develops over the years, then it can happen at any time during the month. So people can be in pain for 3-4 weeks of the month, sometimes around their period, and sometimes it has absolutely nothing to do with it. So it's really unpredictable.
Have you been at work? Have you been able to be employed?
Yes. When I first started at the university, I got my dream career. I managed to work in London in TV, which I absolutely loved. It was the best. It was the best thing I ever did.
Right.
But it was really difficult to manage my condition alongside, like, the long days. And, you know, anyone that works, as you know, it can be very intense.
Brutal
long days.
Brutal hours.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to make the really difficult decision to either prioritise my health and use my skills in, like, a different area of work and leave London, or to carry on. And I chose to leave and to try and get my health in a better place.
How difficult was it to leave the TV industry? Presumably you sort of set your heart on it for some years as a younger woman.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. It was really heartbreaking because it was something that I'd worked really hard for. And when I was in there, you know, I wanted to be there for decades, for as long as I could. But I recognised that my health had to come first. And a lot of very complex 5+ surgeries, I've had 3 of them now, they were needed. I couldn't have carried on without them.
You've had 5 over how long a time period have you had 5 operations?
Sorry, 3 surgeries, but they've all been over 5 hours long.
I'm sorry, I misheard. Okay, and over how long a period were those 3? How many years have you had these then?
I've been with endometriosis for a decade now, so probably every 2 or 3 years.
And what's the impact? I hate to use the word getting better, that's ludicrous. Is the situation, is it easing?
Surgery makes a massive difference. Well, surgery done by the right specialist with the right team is life-changing. Surgery done wrong can have pretty catastrophic effects, but I've been lucky enough to have the right surgery, and it is life-changing. I haven't gone back into the corporate world. I've wanted to run my own business. A lot of women do in this space because they get the flexibility they need. And actually, I've been lucky enough to speak to Michelle, who is the lady behind the petition today. And
she literally travelled
the length and breadth of the country to get the signatures that she needed. And it's amazing what she's achieved.
What do you hope happens out of the result of Michelle's petition then, Alex?
I think the most interesting thing for me today is how many people actually turn up to the debate and listen to what is said. I think that'll be really telling.
Are the
number
going?
Of MPs. I'm online, so I'm ready
You're
ready. Watching.
Oh, has it started?
No, I think it's this afternoon. I won't say 4:30 this afternoon, but I'll be watching. And a lot of the women, it's quite a tight-knit community, so a lot of us all know each other, and a lot of the girls will be in London today supporting each other.
I don't know why I'm asking you this question, because you're not a politician, but why are we so far behind other countries, do you imagine?
No, it's a great question.
No.
Well, considering, I think it was around 1860 that one of the first traces, papers of findings of endometriosis were actually tracked all the way back to them. They may not have known it was endometriosis, but they knew it was all over the body, not just in the reproductive system, and we've ignored it. So I think it's systemic. I think it's within the healthcare system, and I think it's something that is going to take fundamental kind of society-wide change in terms of attitudes.
I know you'll be watching carefully. Good luck to you and the campaigners. Alex, thank you for sharing so much, and good luck with the business you're running. Let's go speeding with Sheila in Stanmore. Sheila, have you been done? Are you a speeder?
Oh, I am. I'm a 94-year-old speeder.
You're 94 years of age, are you?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been driving?
About 74 years.
You've been driving. How many times have you been done for speeding?
Never.
Just now?
Just within the last 6 months.
I love it. How fast were you going?
I was doing... Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, my Lord.
Old age.
Yes.
I was doing 33 miles an hour.
In a 30?
In a 30, on a speed truck, you know, on a camera. But the best part was, I opted to go to traffic school.
Yeah, go on.
Which I thought, well, why should I get points on my license? Absolutely. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Of course, I was the eldest person there. And the first question
the
we were...
Person. Listening, but do go on.
The first question we were asked was, who has read the highway code lately? And mine was the only hand that went up.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, when did you read it? I said, 1949.
Oh, how fantastic. Have you learnt your lesson?
Oh, actually, the instructors were very good. But the funniest part came at the end, when all these younger people were saying they've got this thing on their car,
yeah,
and that switch, and this does that. And they said, I said, well, I haven't got that on my car.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, what have you got? I said, well, I've got a steering wheel, and I've got a brake, and an accelerator,
right,
and I've got windscreen wipers, and I've got overdrive. Overdrive, they said?
This is like a
What's
fifth year.
Overdrive?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to explain to them.
What is your car?
I have a Hyundai.
With overdrive is like a fifth gear, like a button you used to slip that sort of, well, did give you a fifth gear. How old is the car?
20 years.
Well, I hope you've learnt your lesson now.
Oh, I have.
We don't want any more 94-year-old speed. How lovely hearing from you. Look after yourself, Sheila. Thank you for that. Safe driving. Lee in Cornwall, the important matter of this leave. How important is it, the leave, would you say? You have one of these conditions, do you, Lee? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yes, I had endometriosis and adenomyosis. It was awful. I've actually had a hysterectomy since, and it has changed my life.
Right.
It's the best thing I've ever had.
Right.
I would plan meetings according to my cycle. So I would say, right, okay, these days, don't plan any meetings, don't go out. I couldn't leave the flat for 3 days. Oh, it's horrific, the pain, and I wasn't diagnosed until I got breast cancer, and they were going to put me on a medication that would make endometriosis worse, and then from there, I actually managed to get the hysterectomy, but for decades, I was just, yeah,
Why are
ignored.
We so far behind much of Europe, and indeed parts of Asia, do you imagine?
I feel like people think periods, you just suck it up, and it's just painful, and it's just something we have to deal with, and it's been like that for centuries. I just do it. It's just an education piece. People need to be educated.
As a younger woman, what difference would this have made to your life had this proposal been taken up?
Oh, gosh. It would have changed my life completely. I would have had a much easier life, less pain, so much medication, so many painkillers, changing things last minute, you know, bleeding through on the tube when you don't expect it. It's called flooding. It's horrible. It's embarrassing, and it takes away your dignity and your pride.
Of course it does. Lee, I must end it there. I'm glad you're in a better place. Health-wise, good luck to you and good luck to everyone taking part in that debate. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player or the LBC app. You can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. He's back, James O'Brien, the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm now back tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you.
you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and it hasn't got any easier to keep track of events, has it? A week away. I'm pretty sure when I headed off to the wilds of Western Scotland, that Donald Trump had won a war. Well, if he hadn't won a war, he'd certainly announced that he was about to win a war and that the Strait of Hormuz was about to be reopened. But it hasn't been reopened, not for ships that are unfriendly to the Iranian regime, but Donald Trump has announced now that he's going to block it. That's his next tactic. Responding to a blockade by introducing a block. You can't laugh, can you? Can you laugh? Can you laugh at this? I don't know. Here's a thought. Did you know that what we called privateers in the 16th century were essentially pirates? Why is that relevant today, do you think?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the Prime Minister says the UK will not be involved in enforcing a US blockade of Iranian ports starting this afternoon. President Trump announced the move after peace talks with Tehran collapsed on Saturday. The Trump administration is trying to pressure Iran, which has been blocking ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Speaking to LBC this morning, Keir Starmer has reiterated his stance on the conflict in the Middle East.
We will defend British lives and British interests in the Gulf area, and of course our allies in the Gulf states, but we're not going to get dragged into this war. Our focus in the last few weeks has been on getting the Strait of Hormuz open, because all the time it's not open for free navigation. That is impacting our economy and our energy bills. It's my job to protect the British public.
Plans reportedly being put forward by the government will see the UK follow European Union rules without a vote in Parliament. Ministers say the proposals will allow them to deliver a food and drink trade deal worth more than £5 billion a year. The Conservatives say the plans are exactly what the country rejected, while Reform UK says any such move would be a Brexit betrayal. There's been celebrations on the streets of Hungary following a landslide election that swept aside Vladimir Putin's ally, Viktor Orban. Peter Madge's party has promised to lift a block on military aid from the EU to Ukraine. The government will reportedly scrap plans to give security services an exemption from a law aimed at stopping public cover-ups. The Hillsborough Law will introduce a legal obligation for public officials to tell the truth and cooperate with inquiries. And foods that are high in sugar or deep-fried could be banned from school menus across England. The government is setting out new plans to tackle childhood obesity. All schools will have to publish their menus online as part of the proposals being put forward in a 9-week consultation. Headteacher Jared Bradding has told LBC that progress is being made, but further work's needed.
Caterers have had to meet school food marks. And in that, they've had to provide food of a certain standard, better quality meat, more fruit, salad bars. So those things are now much more standardised across schools, but not all schools.
In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 45 points at 10,555. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry and sunny for most. Some showers will develop in the north by the afternoon. Some thundery downpours possible, a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
If you want to save a few quid, British Gas have a way. You get half-price Lecky, and it's called Peak Save. On every Sunday, it's the smart thing to do if you're regular folk or furry and blue. 11 till 4, let the good times begin. You could charge up the car or take the dryer for a spin. Half price electricity, what joy that brings. With British Gas Peak Save, we're taking care of things. T's and C's apply, eligible tariff and smart meter required.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I shall read this from Rob, because he speaks for many of us, most of my inbox when I get back after a little break. James, usually when you go on holiday, it's just the Prime Minister resigning or something like that. This time, the President of the United States threatened to destroy an entire civilization. I'm sorry, but that's it. You can never go on holiday again. Turns out, if you're interested, I'm not really built for kayaking. Although, as Keith pointed out when I shared this little nugget from my brief break a moment ago, he said, what about fast catamaran sailing? Maybe that would be more your bag. And as I say those words, it occurs to me that
We've possibly been together too long, you and I, haven't we? We know too much about each other. I wonder if you can guess what we will be turning our attention to first today. Yes, no prizes. It will be the Strait of Hormuz, and it will be Donald Trump's latest intervention with an announcement that the shipping lane that he has failed to reopen or failed to bomb or persuade or cajole Iran into reopening will now be closed, but not by them, by him. Have I got that right? How do you respond to a refusal to open a channel by announcing in Donald Trump land that you will be closing the channel? Which, of course, the biggest mockery made of anybody here is the people who insisted that the strait wasn't closed. I don't know if you encountered any of these boneheads, people arguing the strait wasn't closed at all, failing utterly to understand that favoured nations were always able to navigate, as the inimitable, as the peerless Ash in Northampton pointed out to us, and if we're lucky, we might hear from him again today. As the peerless Ash in Northampton pointed out to us, it was always possible to navigate the Strait of Hormuz. You just needed to be in the company of someone what knew where the mines were. So it was an ability afforded only to allies of Iran and extended, I think, while I was on holiday, and you're going to have to hold my hand a bit this morning because an awful lot of it seems too surreal to be true, extended to people prepared to pay $2 million per boat to the Iranian regime. A toll that Donald Trump briefly suggested he would also be part of, didn't he? Is it mafiosi who say, can I have a taste? Or is it just the eternally and internationally corrupt? I'd like a little taste of that. It's a euphemism for kickbacks, for protection, or it's a euphemism for, that's a very nice business you got there, be a shame if something happened to it, kind of behaviour. Donald Trump, am I going mad, or did Donald Trump say a few days ago, and bearing in mind I was on a, what's that line from the Police song? I was on a remote Scottish lock, so I haven't been in full contact with the news agenda, but I'm pretty sure it reached me that he was going to be having a taste of the tolls. He was going to be setting the tolls up with, I don't think I imagined that. So that plan's gone out the window as well. The war appears not to have been won after all, despite the myriad announcements that the war had been won. And the Strait of Hormuz, for countries that are not allied with or at peace with Iran, and this is where things could get interesting, is still shut. Wet my beak is another phrase as well, isn't it? Donald Trump was going to wet his beak with a little bit of the money that Iran was going to start charging in order to allow ships to make their way through a channel that ships were making their way through channels through without paying shortly before Donald Trump decided to attack Iran. Where do you even start to unpick the latest? US says it will blockade Iranian ports, as the Iranian regime continues to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. The tactic, such as it is, would involve seizing control of the choke point from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, something that I don't think is going to be possible to do without a major escalation of engagement. And again, it's worth reminding ourselves that this is a president elected on a promise not to get involved in any Middle Eastern wars or any wars at all. So warships, he has said, will now seek and interdict, that's a word that suggests he didn't write this post himself, every vessel in international waters that has paid a toll to Iran. This after a number of ships were said to have paid that toll in order to get their cargo through that channel. He sent J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance had a busy week. I don't know whether you kept up to date with his movements. He went to Hungary to tell the world that foreign politicians and foreign organizations should not interfere in the Hungarian elections, while telling Hungarians to vote for Viktor Orban, who lost on a frankly spectacular scale. And then he conducted the peace negotiations with Iran, which failed on a frankly spectacular scale. So if you want a job absolutely muffing up, J.D. Vance is your man. He's the man that you need. The man, of course, who was not long ago telling us that we had a freedom of speech problem in this country, while shilling and grifting for a Hungarian ex-prime minister who managed to co-opt the judiciary, the media, and just about every democratic institution in his country, and still lose an election, which is something I feel we should be talking about, but I'm damned if I can think of a phone-in. It's the price we pay, I suppose, for big events that don't necessarily lend themselves to conversations. But I am going to bring you up to date a little later in the programme. Two things, in fact. Emily Maitlis will join us live from Budapest, and we will hopefully be talking a little bit about the full extent of the efforts Viktor Orban and his regime put into polluting discourse in countries nowhere near Hungary. It's the ultimate irony.